about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
His texts are so boring, his thumbs fall asleep as he types them. He has to nap while watching baseball because the game is simply too fast-paced for him. He wears fingerless gloves just so that people will go, "Hey, that dude's gloves have no fingers." His game is so weak, he once turned himself down for sex. His love for boring sweaters is so great that even his penis wears a turtleneck. He is Dave, the King of Mexico, the least interesting man in the world.
I don't usually drink beer because it's like all full of calories and it makes me all bloated and my stomach gets all bonkers. But if I did, I'd probably drink Dos Equis.
And now,
Dos Equis beer. Drink responsibly.
Stay sleepy, my friends.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, you can't know how true that is.
So true. Not even a parody. It's just a description of Dave's life.
That's all you got to do, pretty much. Just recite what's going on. Everybody will get it.
Hey, guys. I know the fire is 100 miles away, but why isn't Channel 4 covering it 24 hours a day, every minute of every single possible minute that it... Oh, wait. I guess it is.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only story on the news every day, all day.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is it... Do you think it's... I wonder why that happens. I mean... My personal opinion is just that fire looks cool.
That's what I think it is.
That's absolutely it. Because let's face it.
I mean, it is mesmerizing to see flames.
It's a legit. By the way, we will take your calls on the fire or anything you want. Pick up the phone. Give us a call toll free 1-800-520-1067. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's not a legitimate Southern California news story. It is when there's a fire that burns 20 houses or whatever it is at this point. I mean, that's certainly worth a mention. But to me, it's a 2 to 3 minute story in the newscast.
Right.
It's not all day long saying, wow, it's still burning.
Got some new shots here. This is, that's the fire right there. Yes. Okay.
See, and those are flames.
Fire's still burning.
There's right. a house that burned
Let's
down.
Send it out to someone in the field. The fire's still burning out here.
I don't know. And it's windy.
I mean, how much coverage do you guys think it needs?
I don't know. I don't really watch the news that much.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Pay attention the way you do, Bean.
That's the problem, Bean, is that when you pay attention, then you get angry. But if I watch news for a little bit and there's fire on it, I go, hey, that looks cool. And then I move on and do whatever else I'm doing. I don't really stick with it either.
Right, right.
Well, not interesting enough. This morning, for instance, you know, obviously I have to check out Alita, and it's hardly worth wading through the 20 minutes of fire coverage to get to her.
It's not worth... Never mind.
It's just too much.
It's not worth a two-minute piece on something.
It's just it's too much fire. I think that's my point, is it's too much fire.
Okay.
So stop it, Channel 4.
Just put on your hot weather chick and let her prance around.
Exactly.
Okay.
And before we get to calls, we should also mention...
Dodgers!
Oh!
Dodgers! Dodgers!
In the big picture, I know it's not a statistic that means very much, but you still have to go... 13 games in a row at home to start a season, you know, that's pretty impressive. That doesn't happen in baseball. It has never happened
in
baseball before.
When you say May 7th, it's May 7th and we still haven't lost at home, that's impressive.
I got to tell you,
impressive.
though, it's shocking to me that 13 was the record of all time. That doesn't seem like a very big record.
Do you think about 13 games in a row to start a season, to not lose one of those?
Right, right.
I mean, not have a couple pitches not go your way,
I got
and
you.
A guy hit, you know, a ball.
I know how that works.
I mean, that's
but
impressive.
Think how rarely, Kevin, you see a sweep. I mean, that's what basically happens is every team that's come into town has been swept, and it just doesn't happen very often. I mean, you're lucky. You're having a pretty good season if you can sweep once a month.
Right,
you're
I don't know. I just looked at that and I was like, what? The record's only 12? Because it seems like somewhere along the way, whether it was the Yankees when they were great or even the Dodgers, the Angels when they were great, how do they not win 13 ever?
Because great teams win 2 out of 3 games most of the time.
Oh, I
That's
see.
Why. That's why. And maybe it's also worth mentioning.
Lakers!
Yes, it is. All right, dude.
Okay, he's very, very happy to see the win.
Time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Today you get a $50 gift card from Journeys. So won't you please enjoy?
All right. Speaking of baseball, let's go to Richard in Alhambra. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and B?
Good. What it do?
Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm calling the Tampa Bay Dodgers. Greatest start ever, 13-0 at home. I'm very excited. You know, all Dodgers fans just loving it. But, you know, I have a problem with ESPN. They don't seem to care very much about the Dodgers being 13-0 at home. They don't give much coverage to it. They don't give much props to it. I mean, if the Yankees or the Red Sox were 13-0 at home to start the season, man, we would be hearing about this every second of the day. I guarantee you.
Richard,
the Dodgers.
No.
For hundreds of years, there has been East Coast bias in sports reporting. You know, New York and Boston have always dominated sports reporting, and part of it is because, you know, especially in ESPN's case, that's where they are, you know, in Connecticut.
Richard, are you on the drive-thru at Chano's?
It's a good question.
Sounds like this when you talk to it.
But we understood what you said. ESPN does not cover West Coast stuff as much as they do East Coast stuff.
And that's absolutely true.
It's been true for a long time. Let's go to Gio, who is calling from Van Nuys. Hi.
What it do?
What it do?
I'm calling about the Lakers.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the game yesterday.
Did.
But I think these guys are out to show that they mean business. Especially when Derek Fisher literally just knocked that one guy's skull out.
Yeah, you don't see Derek Fisher getting tossed from a game very often.
No.
But
And he got tossed from the game with a big smile on his face.
Oh, yeah.
He knew. He put a good lick on him.
He did.
I thought it was Manny Pacquiao out there for a minute.
He ran him right over. But then, how sweet was it to see Ron Artest get kicked? That was great.
That one was great.
That guy.
Yeah, I do,
a lot
too.
Of people seem to. God, he's just so annoying. He's just a thug.
Is it his hair? Is that what it is?
No, it's not his hair. It's his he's a big, buff, like, linebacker dude. And if the refs don't let a lot of grabbing and hitting and pushing and shoving go, then he's not effective. But if they do let a lot of it go, then he can just hold on to people and push them. He's just a thug. He's fouls all the time. He's always questioning the fouls.
Yeah.
Yesterday he went up and ran right up in Kobe's face and he's yelling at him. And it's just...
I thought that was funny.
It was great to see.
He didn't get the reaction. He wasn't satisfied with what he got out of talking to the referee, so he ran across the court to Kobe to let him know.
Like Kobe's going to do anything. So Kobe just put his hands up and they tossed Artest, which I loved.
Well, it should make you very happy that Ron Artest is waking up miserable this morning.
It does.
Yeah. Let's try Joseph on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about a big television event last night that did not get a lot of coverage. Hey, Joseph, what's up?
What it do?
What it do?
Oh, yeah, did you guys watch the season finale yesterday?
I did, yeah.
I taped it. I'm looking forward to it. This could be it. I guess they still haven't decided whether they're going to bring it back for next year or not, but most people seem to think it's done.
When that bomb went off at the end and everyone died, I was very shocked. What?
Don't tell me that.
Oh, what?
Like when he turned on that light switch and everybody started dying, you're like, ah!
Yeah, it was a pretty well-done ending, I thought. Yeah. Zach Braff's last episode. And then the rest of the people, I guess, don't know if they're going to come back or not. But
and Zach is even talking about coming back for some episodes next year. But what a good show. That's a show that I don't think ever got its due. It's very funny. Consistently very funny.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it was kind of sad to see that go.
Yeah, that show was pretty good. And without Zach Braff, I just don't think it'll be the same.
Well, the problem is pretty much that they tell most of the stories through him.
Right.
So that is going to be a big change if they... They keep
tried doing the stories through the eyes of the other cast members.
Right.
It's gone pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone okay. It'll have to be radically different, but it's a good cast, I think, and great writers.
Yeah, they're great.
So. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. Let's do one more. I can't listen to him anymore. Let's
he
talk
just
to.
Wants to talk about
I
it. Some more.
You, I don't know. I like
his
that.
Phone was just like the other guy's phone. Let's do one more, and it's going to be Paul. He's on line 7. I have not heard the latest on this, but it sounds like there may be some good news. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do, Paul?
Hey, I'm hearing that Schwarzenegger's at least going to consider it, man. He's at least going to try to legalize pot. Which
Don't can't say it on the radio. That is not legal yet.
Sorry.
I'd like Arnold to reconsider that.
I mean, look, I have respect for any politician who is willing to say that because most aren't, even though I think, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen the latest polls on this, but do most people in California want it legalized?
I don't know.
You know It said 42% are for it and 58% against it this morning.
Okay, so there's still a little bit of an uphill battle with the public, and that's why I guess you don't see very many politicians coming out in favor of it. Believe me, if there were a California poll that said that 65% were for it, lots of politicians would suddenly be for it.
Yeah, I wish that was the case.
Well, but the fact is, even if we legalize it, isn't it just like with the dispensaries?
Yep.
We're still going to run into the federal law.
Still federal laws.
Right. Yeah.
Although it sounds like Obama's going to be a little bit better about hands-off. If the state laws are such and such, then we'll just let it stand and we won't fight it.
Right.
So hopefully.
That'll happen.
All right. Thanks for the update on that, Paul. We appreciate it. We'll keep an eye on it as well.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
We have tickets to the Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
What is the date today, by the way? I didn't even know.
2009. It's Thursday the 7th of May. I see them.
I want to squeeze them.
All right.
Scott Shuffit is on the program today. He is telling you about the Lebowski Fest.
Oh, the Lebowski Fest.
I don't know if you're a fan of The Big Lebowski, which is a great movie.
Yes.
But they're having a fest, apparently.
All great movies should have a fest.
They should. You're right. And a lot of them don't.
It is funny how, I mean, there are a handful of movies that live forever and have hardcore fans that continue to keep them alive and celebrate them and dress up and have screenings and everything else. And this is just one of them.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know, that or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Yeah, that's why it's still beloved.
David Alan Greer in the studio today.
Dag, yeah.
He showed up yesterday, by the way. He was here yesterday. And the people in the room said, you're not supposed to be here till tomorrow. And he said, don't tell Kevin and Bean. And also today we have LaQuisha talking about the cougar.
All right.
And new witch doctor's work. All on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. So we will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbizby next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the world famous K-Rock at 549.
Hey! Nope. We've had a little show going on sale at 5 o'clock this afternoon for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2009. This is the big concert a week from Saturday with Weezer and Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Rancid, Silver Sun Pickups, Airborne Toxic Event, Cage the Elephant, White Lies, and more. You can buy those tickets at 5 and you should try, but why not have the pressure off by winning some this morning at 1-800-520-1067? What's the mission for them this morning coming up after the news at 6 when we get to it?
Well, it's the Orchestra de la Raza, and that is Psycho Mike and the King of Mexico singing the musical parts of the songs with their mouths. Actually, the beginning instrumental parts of the songs. If you can recognize those, and you go into a drawing, and Lisa doesn't pick somebody who's not in the drawing, you can win the tickets.
No promises.
Okay.
Three in a row.
That was spooky.
That was good.
Yeah. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It does sound kind of like a low-rent game that you might play with your friends on a car road trip, but we're going to try it on the radio here coming up after the news at 6. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
This Kiefer Sutherland story just keeps getting better.
Oh, really?
You may have heard yesterday that there was an incident at the New York Metropolitan Costume Institute Gala Monday night. Apparently, some designer named Jack McCullough was having an argument with Brooke Shields, according to some onlookers, and Kiefer Sutherland got involved, demanded he apologize to Brooke, and then headbutted the guy, giving him quite the gash on his face.
Speaking of gashes and kisses,
now, some say alcohol may have been a problem for Kiefer and the incident, because one eyewitness says that Kiefer was spotted earlier in the evening running around with a feather boa wrapped around his neck.
Yeah, that sounds like Kiefer.
Saying that some, speculating he could have been a little tipsy by the time the headbutt went down. Jack McCullough, by the way, continues to say he was the victim, this is his quote, of a vicious, violent, unprovoked attack. I get the sense this guy's gay. I just get the sense. There's no straight guy's going to say, I was the victim of a vicious, violent, unprovoked attack.
Yeah, it's true.
Just saying.
That's true.
Designer, right?
Yeah, probably.
So wait and see. This is my man. This is my guy. This is my boy, John Gosselin. I don't know if you know who John Gosselin is, but he's on a show called John and Kate.
Oh, yeah.
And their 27 children, whatever the number they have.
John and Kate plus 8.
Yeah, they got 8 kids. And his wife is just a bitch. just hell on wheels, this woman. Just a nightmare. Well, Us Weekly Magazine has an interesting story about the woman on the side that John apparently has.
Oh, here we go.
There have been some rumors of him having an affair with someone outside of his marriage, and now we know who she is. The other woman is named Deanna Hummel. She works as a third grade teacher. And they met at a bar in Reading, Pennsylvania. Now, her brother is named Jason Hummel. He's also her roommate. And he tells Us Weekly that John Goslin pursued his sister relentlessly after their initial meeting. Started coming over the house in mid-February. And the two enjoyed a hot relationship while locked away in her bedroom. When asked how can he be sure, Jason says, "The walls of our apartment are quite thin."
Wow.
"And I often found it gross listening to the two of them go at it."
Why is he speaking?
Because this Jason Hummel guy?
Yeah, because doesn't it seem like if that's your sister and you live with her?
Yeah.
Well, if the thing is over and there's a way to make some cashish out of it,
I'm
guessing he probably is just looking to cash in. Look, guy's living with his sister.
I know. But I'm saying
in a one-and-a-half-room apartment.
If you're his sister, you go, why are you...
Yeah, he's got an asshole of a sister, too. He wants the $100 they're offering, or whatever it is. I'm saying it comes down to cash. That's what my guess is. But really, not a jury in the world could convict John Goslin. There's not a guy in the world who could blame him.
That's true.
After watching his wife for 3 minutes.
Try to figure out a way to get out of that house. Just figure out a way to leave that relationship. He thought, well, if I have an affair, then she'll have to kick me out. That'll work.
I wonder, how do you have an affair when you got her and 8 kids at home? How do you get out to the bar in the first place? How do you find any time to go spend time with her?
Doesn't seem possible.
Maybe she just goes, John, and she's just going, and she doesn't even know he's gone. He just slips out the back door, and she just keeps harping. He goes, bangs the girl, comes back, she's still harping about the same thing. And then he goes, yes, dear, the end, like 3 hours later.
I'm going to guess yes on that one. Did you see that clip on The Soup a couple of weeks ago, Ralph? It's exactly what you're describing. They're sitting on the couch together, and she's talking nonstop for like 2 solid minutes, and he doesn't move a muscle. He's just staring off into space thinking, Lord, please take me.
Yeah, he's had to listen to that way more than anyone else, too, so that's got to get old.
He wants to die. He's putting ads on Craigslist, hoping the Craigslist killer will come by and find him. Samantha Ronson and Lindsay Lohan may not be over yet.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, no.
Entertainment news website X17.com has photos of Lindsay doing the walk of shame out of Samantha's house yesterday morning at 10 a.m. after a night of partying for Cinco de Mayo, apparently.
Make you want to go eat some tuna?
Mm. So, apparently the two may still be involved. The good folks over at Vivid, one of our favorite entertainment porn companies, is offering Miss California Carrie Prejean $1 million if she'll do an adult film.
She ought to consider it.
She ought to consider it, yeah. The company said, this is a purely business offer. It has nothing to do with your religion or personal beliefs, which everything seems to with her. But I think she should say yes.
I think so, too. She doesn't have the crown for much longer, it looks like.
It would draw a lot of attention to her beliefs that only opposites should marry.
How will it?
Because the storm is coming.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Idol last night, our local girl, Allison Arahita, booted off the show.
Yeah.
Down to just boys now.
Mm.
Well, and Adam.
So how many? Just two?
There's three of them left.
Okay.
There is Adam.
So 6 more weeks.
And Goki and Chris are still left. I did not see the show last night because, as you know, I'm boycotting.
Excellent. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. But Gwen performed with No Doubt. They did I'm Just a Girl on the show last night. Chris Daughtry did his latest single, and Paula Abdul has a new single that she debuted on the show.
Did she sing it?
Of course she did.
Oh, that had to be bad.
Or lip synced it or something. Again, I didn't watch, so I don't know.
You should watch it. You should at least have that song up, and you should go watch that.
I should not. I should not and will not.
She's a terrible, she's a choreographer, or was, a terrible, terrible dancer.
Is she?
Terrible. You can't believe it. And maybe it's, you know, it's been a number of years since she's had to, but she was just awful. And the song is awful, too.
Well, I mean, right funny. After she sang, she ran down back to the judge's table and said she was a little pitchy to herself.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But she also said she dared to dance in the path of excellence. It all worked out. Michael Jackson's co-star from the Thriller video. Remember her, the hot-looking chick?
Oh, Ola
Ray was her name. Former Playboy centerfold.
The one that was scared of all
those
zombies. Michael, I'm scared.
What's that?
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
What was her name, Ralph?
Ola Ray.
Ola Ray, okay.
She has told the New York Daily News that Michael Jackson still owes her for performing in that video.
What?
Yeah.
Wasn't that 1984, 5?
She is suing Michael Jackson for back payments.
Now?
Yes.
That's what I don't get. Why do people wait? Is it because he's got these concerts so she knows he's going to get some cash?
I don't know,
now?
But when do you realize you have been paid for your work in the Thriller video? When does that hit you?
Yeah. One of the biggest videos of all time in almost 30 years
ago. I was in the Thriller video. Hey, wait a minute. They never paid me for that video. Let me get my lawyers on the phone.
Every day she says, all right, I'm going out to the mailbox, and if it's not there today, seriously, I got to make a phone call.
And speaking of cash, Fox is still cheesed off about the leak that happened with the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie that ended up on the internet before it ended up in theaters. They are now speculating, as of yesterday, that 4 million copies of Wolverine was downloaded after the pirated version appeared on the internet.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, nevertheless, the film did very well at the box office, but they are still speculating that the average ticket price of $7.18 for a movie theater ticket, they could have lost $28.7 million due to those downloads.
Oh, my God.
If they take for granted that all of those people would have paid that to see it, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Somebody, but if you cared enough to download it.
So if it's free, I mean, I didn't, but it's stupid for them to say that's how much business we lost.
Isn't it more effort to have to go through downloading it than it is paying $7?
Well, yeah, one's but it's free. More fun to steal.
Kevin. One's free and one costs money. I mean, they certainly did lose some. I'm sure some people would have seen it, but I don't know.
And I'm sure a lot of those people who downloaded it were hardcore Wolverine fans who would have wanted to see the final movie in the theaters and went anyway.
So you guys are just standing up for piracy. Okay,
no,
I get you. No, you're for it. Nice and see.
I'm just questioning their assumptions of the numbers.
That's good. I think it's good that you like stealing and then you like piracy and you like immoral behavior.
I want to be a pirate. Is that the same thing?
Oh, I thought you wanted to be a ninja. Now you want to be a pirate.
Somali pirate?
Can't be all, man.
All right.
Mia Farrow wants you to know she's not dying.
I didn't know the rumors were out there.
Did I say Mia Farrow?
Yes.
I meant Farrah Fawcett. But I also have a Mia Farrow story.
She's not dying?
Mia Farrow is on a 12-day hunger strike. She's in the 12th day of her hunger strike.
What's her strike about?
She is bringing attention to the plight of refugees in Darfur.
How's that going?
To which I say, if we're just hearing about this on day 12, you're not doing a very good job of bringing attention to the refugees
in
Darfur.
Sure wasn't worth your time.
Yeah. So she's on YouTube chronicling her journey, in case you're interested.
Sure am hungry. Day 3. Sure could eat.
And Farrah Fawcett wants you to know she's not dying.
All right.
But she is undergoing what doctors are calling a last-ditch effort to cure her cancer. She's having an operation later on this week, so we'll find out whether it's going
to happen. Last-ditch effort, to me, means dying.
They say I'm not dying till the day they die.
Yeah.
She is not dying.
Okay.
Doctors say she is, but she says she's not.
All right.
She's completely bedridden at this point, as I understand it.
Yes, but she refuses to give up hope, she says, and she thinks that she'll be cured of the cancer.
Okay.
It's good to have faith.
Sure. Why not?
I wish she'd gotten something hotter than anal cancer. That's a bad way to go.
I don't know that they need to have something hot.
Is there any cancer that's
hot? Oh, there's the sexy cancer.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
What's the sexy cancer?
Yeah, which cancer is that?
Would you tell us the sexy one?
I'd rather she got ovarian cancer or something that I could imagine with fun, you know.
Dear
but
God.
Anal cancer—that's no good.
You need to go.
I'm just saying.
How is it?
Bean's a genius and he's really smart, but he's got no soul and he's got no heart.
Gotta get that murder button. I really do.
You do.
Gotta whip that up.
I thought that was just for Twitter, though. That's also for radio.
I'm expanding its, its use. Well, I think any electronic. I can kill anyone electronically with the murder
Texters,
button.
Texters, phone, everything.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I wonder how many people would be left if every person on Earth had the ability to kill whoever they wanted just by looking at them or thinking about it.
I can guarantee who would go first. That's all I can tell you.
Me too.
And how many people would be left in the world, I wonder?
I don't know. I'm just saying, whoever's left. Be a good core group of people, that's all. And well behaved. I think you'd be on your best behavior
that's
if you knew
true.
That someone could kill you with a button. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robbie Knievel, the captain.
Yeah.
Captain Robbie Knievel. Of course, the son of legendary daredevil stuntman Evel Knievel, a daredevil and stuntman in his own right, and captain of.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
He'd never been asked that before.
I stand by my guest, Salvation Army. That's what I'm guessing.
Could be.
He's 47 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry. Remember Eagle Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was
and
the song?
Sister Nana?
Stay Tonight or Stay
Tonight. Yeah. Stay the Night.
Yeah.
Stay
the Night.
Save Tonight.
Save tonight. Yeah. He is 38 years old today. Actor Breckin Meyer from Road Trip and from Robot Chicken with his pal Seth Green. No?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's 35 years old. And Tracy Lords. One of my favorite porn stars. Her career was all too brief, Tracy Lords' porn career. Because it turns out she was 17.
Yeah, that makes
when
it
she
bad.
Was making the movies. Yeah.
Can't even see him anymore. Can't even get her movies anymore. She made one movie after her 18th birthday.
Is that true?
Tracy, I Love You, which is just the least of her work.
Aw.
Yeah. I miss it. I miss it so much.
Wow, she's like famous.
Yeah, she is. She's 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2009? It's a week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale this afternoon at 5. We thought we might give away some right now with a little game we like to call the Orchestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
All right, let's go to our contestant.
I love it.
That can't still be the intro, you guys. That can't still be the one we're going with.
Why don't you play the full version?
And scene.
All right. So Psycho Mike and Dave, the King of Mexico, in the other room, doing songs with their mouths. And your job is, if I have this right, gentlemen, your job is to identify the songs that you are trying to present for us. Is that right?
With our mouths.
So the listener needs to tell us the band and the song title. And we can give you a hint. These are not the lyrics. This is the instrumental part at the beginning of each song.
Okay.
But they're going to perform them with their mouths.
With our mouths.
So let's go to Andrew in Los Angeles. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You ready for orchestra?
Let's do it.
Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Gentlemen, I think that's it. Andrew, what do you think? Title and artist.
That is Weezer.
Yes.
Yes.
And it is, God dang it.
Come on,
song
dude.
Song is called, come name on. Of the tune is.
Stay
in it, though. Yeah! Yeah!
Who thought he was going to come up with that?
Not me.
Andrew, you are in the drawing. You'll know in 5 minutes whether you're going to the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2009. Excellent work, my friend. Josh is online, too. Yeah. He's our next contestant for El Orchestra de la Raza. Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
Good.
Here we go. This is a tough one.
I wish somebody's alarm went off right at the beginning of that.
We better stop this before the king has a heart attack. That's the most exercise he's gotten all year. Josh, I know it is a hard one, but what do you think?
Is the yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Song title. Biggest one they have on our station. Played a lot.
People will be going crazy when they do it at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Will you be there? What song is it?
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think.
That would be Maps.
Oh, Maps is what we were looking for.
That was actually pretty close.
Yeah, it was very close. Well done.
Yeah.
Man, the drums sound exactly alike.
That's true.
Tanya is on line 3. Hey, Tanya. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Sure.
All right, here's El Orchestra de la Raza.
Here we go.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's fine.
So, guys, we got it. Thanks. So, Mike, I know you were doing the guitar part. Was Eli Manning doing the percussion? Tanya, what's that song?
Is it Kings of Leon?
Yes.
Yes.
Sex is on Fire?
Oh. How about that?
Very impressive.
Listen to that hi-hat ride,
woo,
baby.
Woo, I knew the answer to it, and I don't think I would have got it from that.
But
that
she
well
did.
Done. She did. She's, that was well
These
done.
These are outstanding contestants here today. Wow.
All right. Outstanding performers.
That's because the guys aren't giving them much to go with.
Matt is up next on line four. Hey, Matt, how have you been doing playing on the phone while you've been on hold?
I've been doing all right. I got all of them except for Weezer.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's see how you do with yours. Here we go.
That's fine.
All right, Matt, it's a song we play a lot on K-Rock right now, if that's a hint. Give me title and artist, please.
Killer
Sonica?
Yes.
Panic, right?
Yes.
How about that?
How about that?
That's Hold an on. Amazing song, too. All right, who's got the strength for at least one more?
Let's try one more.
All right.
Let's go to Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hi, what's up? Hey.
Are you ready for the Orchestra de la Raza?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. Let's go.
There you go.
Brother, here we go.
Bumblebee, bumblebee.
Wow, 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 wow.
Martin?
Oh, it sounds like he's got a guess.
Please tell us you know.
Oh, no, man, I don't.
Yeah, that was a bad one right there.
Yeah, that was
sloppy.
Hollywood Undead.
Yeah, that was what it is.
Hollywood Undead is what
that was. That was Airborne Toxic Event, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was Airborne Toxic Event.
I don't know, when you hear the real song back, you can see what they were going for.
You know what's weird about that is that, you know, I don't remember that part usually. You know, that's not the hooky
part you sing along with on the radio.
Right,
exactly,
right. Yeah.
There's too many songs.
Too many songs.
All right. Andrew, Tanya, and Matt, if I have kept correct score here, are all in the drawing. Lisa May, who's going to win some tickets?
Our winner's Andrew in L.A.
Andrew in Los Angeles. Congratulations. You are going to the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
Thank you.
Andrew!
Thank you so much.
Nicely done. Thank you, orchestra.
No problemo. Yeah. We are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
I don't know how it all got started all those years ago, but we have an answering machine here at K-Rock that somehow makes its way on the air when you call us. It's the Kevin Amin Afro Line, and it's available 24 hours a day or whenever Dave gets the idea to clear it. 323-520-AFRO is the number you call. Leave a message for us. We play back.
We were giving out some tickets to a very, very good Cinco de Mayo show, mm-hmm. Lucha Vavoom.
Oh,
yeah.
This guy apparently called that night.
Kevin, you didn't make Lucha Vavoom this year. I know you're a big fan.
I love it.
It's got everything you love in the world, right?
It's got midgets, strippers, fake wrestling. It's hard. And alcohol. What else do you need?
Yeah. That's about it.
We were also giving away tickets. We were doing a game called The Wheel of Celebrities. And celebrities would read the lyrics to the songs. And then you had to come up with the bands and the song titles.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa May did Rodney, which is a sentence I've been wanting to say for my whole life.
Yeah, it was good.
It was well done. It was well done.
Oh, my back hurts. I think I have a spine flu. Oh, what do you do, guys? I got a spine. What? What's that? It's the swine flu on the. You, Kevin.
Never has something that is going to kill every human on the planet vanished faster than the swine flu.
Yep. Boy, you're not kidding.
It went from if you walk outside your house today, you may die before you get to your car, to I don't kind of remember the swine flu. When was that?
What was that? That was a couple of months. No, it was last week.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, I'm just wondering what the Psycho Mike is doing on the K-Rock website talking about coffee. Kill the out, Psycho Mike. You're the last person that needs coffee. You're creepy.
Yeah, she's got a point.
These are the little walkovers, I guess. If you're on KRock.com, sometimes you'll see Mike or Dave or Alex. They'll come on and tell you about the benefits of the McDonald's coffee.
Remember we used to be able to put up podcasts and people could actually download them and put them on their iPods
those
and stuff?
Good old days.
Good times.
Yeah.
It seems like that was before swine flu, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Kevin Bean, I
could not get the morning show on my iPod. I can't get it. It just disappeared. One day I was trying to download it. It's just gone. Gone! Gone! It leaves me.
Would it be worth asking the king to come in who's in charge of all things?
For you.
Okay. Oh, you do. Okay.
You can download it from krock.com. There's a podcast place where you can download it from. If you can't get it from iTunes because they're having big problems there,
right?
You can get it from krock.com.
So just go to the source.
Okay. Yes. I've tried that and have not been able to get that to work.
You're retarded.
I've been able to get it to stream, have not been able to get it to download so that I can put it on my iPad. But wow. Why? I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yep.
This is the only one that I know of that's having this kind of trouble. So it's not like iTunes podcast department is down. Why is it ours? What's going on with the K-Rock ones?
I don't know.
It's okay. I don't think they know either.
I think they're trying to figure it out, but they can't.
Because it does seem like every day we've got people from our station on the phone with iTunes going, hey, fix it, and they basically ignore us, it sounds like.
Yeah. Speaking of ignoring, Bean is continuously ignoring us about our thoughts on the bell. He doesn't care.
No,
he doesn't
right.
care that it represents all of us. He represents only himself.
Holy crap. Did Bean just give a bell to Meg White?
What yes, he did.
Idiot. I think I just threw up in my mouth.
I got a lot of love from the K-Rock listeners on Meg White, by the way.
Yeah,
a lot
sure
of
you
love
did.
From the email.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure it poured in hot and heavy.
Holla.
I'm telling you, did.
Holla. F*** you, Bean. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying that to the day I die. F*** you, Bean.
You. No.
That guy has been saying that for a long time. This is specifically for Bean, who has Asperger's but will not admit it.
Nope.
Happy odd day, Bean. Man, you just must be like totally just in your pants right now. Yeah. It's 050709. Oh my God, it's odd day. Woo!
Odd day was noted at my house. We had a brief ceremony, but it's not one of the important holidays.
But there's only like,
you know why?
16 of them in this century. Yeah.
Can I guess why?
Why?
Not even. I bet he likes even numbers, but not odd numbers.
Maybe that's it. Are they ugly? Are they icky numbers, Bean?
If it was 04, 06, 08, you'd like it.
They're okay. I just
03, 05.
I've never been, you know how there's some people who dig certain holidays? I've never been a big odd day fan.
Okay. Hard to know where you draw the line.
Jeez.
Kevin, you asshole. This dude gave his legs to protect your freedom, and you thrill him? You asshole. Hi, Lisa.
Come on.
He's right.
We did have a Marine on yesterday who's been he's been on the show a few times, and since the last time we saw him, oh, I don't know, he was in a tank that was in Iraq and got blown up by an IED, and he lost both legs.
Yeah.
So he was on the show yesterday trying to promote this organization that helps disabled veterans, and he couldn't get the website up. Because Kevin could not resist the urge to thrill him, as if the guy were the freaking Armenian comedian instead of a man who is fighting for America.
It was too attractive. You know what I mean? Like, if your weakness is dessert and you haven't eaten in 3 days and there's a huge dessert table right there, you don't have a choice.
But didn't you?
You wish you had a choice, but you don't.
But didn't you look at this guy sitting here and think... No.
Right.
I'm
of course
not
I did him. Of course I did.
He's
but then
walking on metal feet, and I'm going to still do that to him?
But
come
then
on.
The follow up thought was, but then wouldn't it be that much funnier to actually do it?
Poor guy.
And I couldn't turn that down. I'm sorry. I couldn't.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Time for the Rouse Show, Bibbs. Time for the Rouse Show, Bibbs. And now it's time for the Ralph Show Biz Beat.
Oh, man.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He shoots and he scores! Now for the time show Biz Beat.
323-520-AFRO.
Shot clock at 9. That was a deflected pass. Kobe Bryant with Brooks on his tail. And Shane pushes him. Matty A watching Kobe. Scooping, driving, and putting it in! How in the world did he do that?
He passed to himself off the backboard. Oh, that was a planned play, Kevin. I've seen him do that a lot.
He's got 40.
Yep. That happened last night.
Yep.
Is that game still going on? I thought that ended. I thought that was over when I went to bed.
It actually did end. It was Houston Lakers, and Lakers tied the series 1-1.
Okay.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, by the way. It's 636. The basketball playoffs have been going berserk in the ratings. I don't know if you saw that TNT had the best ever first-round cable ratings.
No, I didn't see that.
For some of their series. Because you remember how awesome Boston-Chicago was. For
Yeah.
A bunch of the first-round playoff series were awesome, and it's shaping up like, based on the first two games of Lakers-Houston, this might be a pretty good series, too.
Yeah. Well, Fisher got kicked out because he ran over a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Artest got kicked out, which was awesome because he got kind of tangled up with Kobe under the basket.
Loose ball for Ed is on the Houston Rockets.
Could be on Ron Artest against Kobe Bryant. He's going to be very careful that he does not get a technical. He said that...
Now, right here, Ron Artest runs over to the referee and starts arguing, and then he doesn't get any help from him, so he runs over in Kobe's face.
He's going to go over here. He's talking to Kobe.
Wow, here we go.
Uh-oh.
He went right over to Bryant. Did Ron Artest.
Remember now, the last time they did this, Kobe scored 18 points about the last 4.5 minutes of the game. Ron Artest has gotten very, very upset. I think they have thrown Ron Artest out of the game.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. That's all I'm saying.
What's carved into his head?
It looks like an artistic Rockets emblem.
Oh, is that what it's trying to be?
Never,
I can never get a close enough
really
shot of it.
They never really get a close enough shot, but that's what I think it is. It looks like an R with like some type of, you know, paisley around it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He looks like Clubber Lang. Remember him from the Rocky movies? The third
yes.
Rocky movie, I think
oh,
it was.
Oh, yeah.
He's always, I'm bad. And then...
Good night from Los Angeles, where Kobe Bryant put in 40, and the Los Angeles Lakers have tied this second-round series against the Rockets at 1-1.
And the next game is in Houston. We got an email from a K-Rock listener who is very, I would say upset. Because, you know, you see people down on the floor, on the floor seats, and you don't know who they are for the most part. Most of the time, someone famous or someone super rich or whatever.
Right.
And there's a woman that sits two seats over from Jack Nicholson. And the listener writes, it's really bugging me now. Who is this Asian lady at every Lakers game? She sits a few seats from Jack. Not very attractive. Why does she deserve Laker tickets on the floor more than I do?
Why does she have to be attractive in order to be a basketball fan?
She has the same expression on her face at all times. And I think she goes solo. Please find out who she is so I can marry her. I hope you guys can find her.
He wants to marry the sour-faced woman.
Right. So we talked to that.
Sour-faced 60-year-old woman.
Just so he can sit on the floor.
Wow, that's a fan.
So we talked to that guy yesterday in the Cinco show, 5 p.m. And we got a few calls here at K-Rock. One of them was saying that... this woman is a client of hers, and that she's a lesbian, and the girl next to her is her partner.
Oh, so she's not there by herself.
Right.
Okay.
And also told our phone screener that this woman's family owns a huge percentage of gas pipelines in Japan.
I see. So family money.
That's where the wealth comes from.
Gotcha.
She's got a ton of dough.
Okay.
So she can just buy season tickets on the floor.
I guess if you can buy them, you deserve them,
and
right?
And go every
Isn't that
day.
How it works?
Well, sure. That's how it works.
It's so funny to me, though, the way people are. Like this K-Rock listener, he's upset, first of all, that he doesn't know who she is because you should be famous to sit down there.
Right.
Then he's upset because she's not attractive enough for him. Then he's upset because she's not enjoying the game enough for him.
And listen,
she can't just go and do her own thing. She has to apparently satisfy other people at Staples Center that are also there for the game.
But I understand the feeling of, I'm a huge fan, I'm way excited, I cheer, I yell, I scream, I've done my part. And then she really does just sit down there like she's, someone gave her a shot before the game and she's in a coma. I mean, really, there's no emotion that ever comes across her face. She doesn't seem excited. She doesn't seem upset.
I don't think she'd be there if she didn't love the Lakers and want to see the Lakers play, though.
Yeah, because she's there every game,
she needs
right?
To give she needs to give her face that message, though, because it's her face is not getting that message. So I understand that a hardcore fan would go, if you're not enjoying it, I sure would like those seats.
Sure.
If anyone knows the woman, by the way, that we're talking about, and we do have pictures on the website, you can actually see photos of her sitting right next to Bruce Willis, and on the other side of Bruce is Jack Nicholson. We want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067 and let us know what her deal is. Were you there last night, Mike? Did you go to the game?
I did not.
Okay.
No,
I know there was some talk that you were going to try to figure out a way to get down to her.
Yeah, there is no way. I would love to. I mean, I guess if I really pulled a caper, but they have guards around.
I'm sorry. If you pulled a caper?
Mad caper.
Really, Scoops? Really?
Yeah, I pulled a caper, see? They have guards around that entire area making sure to check your ticket that you have a floor seat, and floor seats look drastically different than the rest of them. But I understand this listener's
frustration,
anger at her being ugly. Because
what?
Everyone in that area, around that on the floor seats in the first two rows is either a model, actress, rich dude with a model or actress, rock star or actor. I mean, and so like when you can at least have that ability to justify, you're like, oh well, he's probably somebody. Look at him, the guy's unbelievably good looking. Look at that chick.
But you can't tell if she's hot.
If you see a bush pig,
she has
right in the front.
Money from a gas pipeline in Japan. How are you gonna know that?
It's crap. It also doesn't look good on TV.
What?
Well, that.
Well, I will tell you. You know, that's an excellent point, Mike, because I'm surprised they're not at that point at Lakers games that they are on almost all other television shows. Like American Idol, do you ever look at the people that are sitting behind the judges or the people that Ryan stands next to on the crowd? They are always 22 and hot. Always.
Yeah, right.
There's never a fat person. There's never an old person ever showing on that in the crowd.
And that's true.
I'm surprised they're not casting Lakers games that way. I'm surprised they're not saying, Denzel, you're in. Fat chick behind Denzel, sorry, you can't come.
That's what they do at MTV Awards when a band comes out. You see all those people with their hands in the air up front. They're all hired to be that
way. To be pretty.
There's
no
bigger salt in the wound than someone in Milwaukee watching the Lakers dismantle the Bucks and seeing nothing but hot chicks in the front row. Like, damn it! Why am I not there?
One other caller yesterday said the Asian lady's name is Yori, and he said that he sat near her a few games and that she's a pretty friendly woman.
Huh. But you can't tell watching her, can you?
She needs to tell her face that as well. It's not getting the message.
But Rick emails in, I can't believe you guys don't know who this person is. She's a very famous actress. In fact, she played Yoda in all the Star Wars movies.
Why didn't we see that?
Now we're starting to narrow in on it.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:53.
Yeah.
Word.
Coming up in just a few minutes after the news at 7, we're going to talk to the man behind the Lebowski Fest. It's that time of year already. If you are a big fan of the Big Lebowski movie, you get a chance to celebrate. Ralph, you're the movie expert on the program. Are there very many films like this where they have this kind of a cult following so many years down the road where they still get together and celebrate it every year?
Well, it's out of the sci-fi fantasy genre. Those are usually the ones that garner the most sort of cult following and foster conventions and things like that.
Right.
I don't know of any comedies that really have that kind of following, like the Big Lebowski.
When was this? Yeah. It was late 90s? Late 90s? 99.
Yeah, 99.
All right, so 10 years ago.
Maybe even longer. Maybe even later. Ago. Than,
so what do they do? They just get together and recite lines?
They drink White Russians, because that's what the dude drank. And they recite lines.
Bowl.
They bowl, because bowling played a big role in the film. Yeah, and they just celebrate the lifestyle and art that is the Lebowski Fest.
Well, it's a great movie. I don't know that I ever have taken it to this level, but we will talk to the co-founder of the Lebowski Fest coming up after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for us for a Thursday morning. What you talking about, Argar?
There's another guy who's trying to start Top Gun Day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's another movie that's fostering a lot of fanhood.
Sure.
He wants to have homoerotic volleyball games.
Right.
And call each other Maverick and Goose.
That has become a gay classic over the years, which I don't recall being the impression I got at the time.
Well,
what? Oh, that was
maybe, are you kidding me?
Maybe you were, struggling with your own sexuality at the time, because I remember watching and saying, put on a shirt!
It was the gayest...
One of you!
Gayest non-gay movie ever.
Slow-mo, glistening sweat boys. Yep. Like, hey, hold on. Seriously.
I wasn't looking for gay in everything.
You don't have to be looking for it.
I think we were as aware of it.
They hit you in the face with it. You don't have to come looking for it.
They anally rape you with it in that scene. You can't miss it. Like, hey, where's Kelly McGillis? Trot her out. Somebody.
She's gay now,
any
for
chick.
Real.
Yeah, well, that's how gay they were. Spread around on the set. Now
except
she
for
caught
Tom Cruise. He never, ever, ever caught any of that gay. He stayed as heterosexual as the day he was born.
Because he's very litigious.
Before I get to showbiz news, I've got tickets to give away to Angels and Demons. Brand new film starring Tom Hanks and Ron Howard. This is, of course, a sequel to their hugely popular The Da Vinci Code. And we're having a special K-Rock screening on the lot at Sony Pictures on May the 13th. If you'd like to go, be one of the first five people to call this number, 1-800-520-1067, with the correct answer to my trivia question, which is Ron Howard has directed over 20 films.
Yes.
That's not a question. That's a fact.
Okay.
I mean, you think about how long he was an actor as a kid with the Andy Griffith Show, and then as Happy Days, two of the biggest shows ever on television. Most of his young adult life, he was an actor. And then when he got into directing, that career just took off as big, if not bigger, than his acting career.
Yep,
but over
true.
20 films, that's quite a body of work.
Yeah.
In just, the past 20 years or so that he's been working as a director.
And a very high batting average of super good movies.
Great films. I, as an aside, I just had a chance to finally see Frost Nixon.
Because it's out on DVD last week.
So great.
It's a brilliant film. It's really fascinating. Makes you want to go back and watch the actual interviews with David Frost and Richard Nixon. Interesting stuff. Anyway, yeah, great director. What was his first film? First major motion picture ever directed by Ron Howard. Let's go way back to his first one. Give me the name of that film. 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with the correct answer win a pair of tickets to the advanced screening. All right. This John and Kate plus eight story that I mentioned an hour ago.
Yes.
Even getting better. Awesome. Even getting better. Apparently, the 23-year-old hot teacher, Deanna Hummel, who John is reportedly having the affair with, has come forward now and saying, my brother is making all this up. Brother was the one who went to Us Weekly magazine and confirmed the story.
Right.
He said, yes, John's come over to the house. They lock each other up, and they lock themselves up in her bedroom, and they go at it like teenagers, and it's gross to hear it through the walls. That's what he told Us Weekly magazine.
Right.
Now she comes out to tell People magazine, my brother is making this all up. He has no credibility. My brother is very shady. He has no job. He has a criminal background.
Wow.
He was charged for drug distribution. He's on probation right now.
Trying to destroy each other's character.
Exactly.
And they live with each other.
He's saying she's a homewrecker and is banging a married guy with eight kids. She's saying he's a drug dealer who can't be trusted and he's a liar.
Wow.
Together.
Is he the only source that this story came from?
Well, there are photos of John and her together.
Okay.
Leaving a bar
together.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
John has said, we're just friends. By the way, what wife, when you had eight kids, letting you have a 23-year-old hot teacher girlfriend friend that you're out drinking with bars?
Yeah.
Just having drinks, that's all.
I think I saw on one of the shows yesterday, I think I saw some sort of surveillance video of him leaving her house early one morning, too. And I don't know how that could ever work. Like, how could he possibly be out of the house overnight?
Maybe he had a little too much to drink and didn't want to drive and was doing the responsible thing.
See?
Bars.
Wow, Kevin came up with a good excuse awfully quick.
You know, like, Kevin hadn't been there. Like, he hasn't been telling this story already.
Yeah, I'm guessing that wouldn't have flown either.
apparently, they live together in a home, but she is buying that house and kicking him out.
So this is the original couple?
This is the brother and sister.
Oh, brother and sister. Okay.
He wanted to get back at me, the teacher claims. He knows he's getting kicked out of the house, and he's very angry with me, and that's why she claims he is making up these stories about her affair with John from John and Kate Plus 8.
I know there was a lot of talk about whether they would renew that show for another series. With this news happening, they have to now.
Yeah, I suppose so.
They have to make a new season of John and Kate now so we can watch this unfold.
Kate, by the way, has released this statement. John's poor judgment and irresponsible behavior has also, without a doubt, caused some added tension and stress between the two of us. Can you imagine what his life is like now?
I can't watch that show because of her. The way she talks to him, she's brutal.
She's a nightmare.
Oh.
Nightmare.
He just wants sweet death.
I feel so bad for him. All right, Star Trek, the motion picture, opens tonight.
What?
We had John Cho on yesterday. We said Friday 75 times. It opens tonight at midnight?
Special screenings tonight, yeah.
I'm going to one at 5 at the Arclight.
5?
Yeah, they're starting
special
afternoon screenings
this afternoon.
Tickets
for. Dude.
6 p.m. this evening.
Wow.
AMC City Walk Universal is having screenings. As Lisa mentioned, there are other ones earlier in the day as well. But mostly it kicks off tonight after 6 p.m. But if you go to Fandango and other sites like that, apparently you can buy the tickets. But I want to give people a heads up because a lot of people didn't know that there were screenings tonight. I'm assuming most of them.
Can people who hate Star Trek leave?
I'm assuming most of them are sold out, but I just want to give you a heads up if you wanted to catch it.
Okay.
That is available tonight.
It's still going to be available on Friday, though. Tomorrow, right?
No.
Not tomorrow.
Just showing one night. One night only.
That's odd.
In the words of Beyonce, one night only. Oh, poor Alison Arahita. She didn't deserve it, man. She got booted off American Idol last night. Now
not
it's all dudes.
Asian at all, by the way, Mike.
No, she's a Latina.
Arahita sounded amazing.
It does.
Possibly.
I know. I agree.
Possibly.
Yeah. She's a Latina, and she's booted off American Idol. It's all dudes now. It's all sausage fest over there on AI. Mm-hmm. All
right.
Chris Daughtry is no longer on there. Never mind. Adam, Danny, and Chris are left. Chris Daughtry did perform last night on the show.
Good.
Along with Gwen Stefani and No Doubt. Who did Just
a
Girl?
You're not missing the show a little bit, Ralph. I
not even a little bit.
But really?
Woke I think up this morning, went online, said, who got booted off? Oh, Allison did. Okay.
Didn't have to sit through all the other BS.
Didn't have to sit through Ryan Seacrest,
acting as if an earthquake struck the studio. He's like, man, we really had a rough week here, man. We're all shaken up here about this accident. Someone, like, sprained an ankle. And Bean got a tweet about it.
You so would have enjoyed watching Paula perform, though.
No, I would
She's
not.
So awful.
Paula
so
Abdul,
awful.
Her new single, I'm Just Here for the Music.
Oh.
And the painkillers. In parentheses.
She's got nerve to be a judge on that show and then to go on and say, here I am. Yeah. This is my music. And it's terrible.
Here I am.
The title, I'm Just Here for the Music, sounds so like it came out of like
1980. Sounds like an ABBA song.
Sounds like an ABBA song.
Yeah. Here's Donna Summer with I Just Came Here for the Music.
And by the way, I know that she looks at it as a platform. Hey, I'd like to sell some records. Why not? Well, you know, I got this audience on this show. But you don't go on a show where they judge talent and suck. I mean, if she had to be reviewed by the judges after that performance, she would have been voted off.
She lip-synced, though, right, from what I understand?
I couldn't tell because they would never show a close-up of her face while she was singing. It was all long
shots. She probably was lip-syncing.
That's a pretty good indicator.
If she was lip-syncing, it was horrible. It was a horrible song then. It shouldn't have sounded that bad if it was already pre-recorded.
It was produced. You thought it would sound better.
Huh. Yeah.
Didn't see it. Missed out. Don't carry that scar. I don't carry that scar.
Right. You didn't miss anything. You're fine.
Let's get an answer to my trivia question, shall we?
Let's go to
Nice Roy.
You tell me.
Nisi Roy.
That can't be.
Nick Roy.
What's your name?
Just Roy.
Just Roy.
Just Roy.
Okay. They didn't spell your name well on our screen here.
They added a lot of letters.
17 letters in Roy.
What is Ron Howard's first major motion picture? What did he direct?
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto, 1977, for Roger Corman.
Yep.
Yeah. He didn't take a salary for that, for directing. He starred in it, but he didn't take any money for directing so that Roger would let him direct.
I didn't know there was any movie called that ever.
Yeah. In fact, they remade it with... No, that was Gone in 60 Seconds. Never mind. I was going to say Nick Cage did a remake of it, but... yeah, you're absolutely right. That was his first motion picture in 1977 and led to bigger and better things, obviously, for Ron Howard. So, congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you all the details. You're going to an advanced screening of Angels and Demons.
Thanks a lot.
Nick McRoy. Nisi Roy. Vice Roy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Another writer and director, Amy Heckerling, celebrates her 55th birthday today. Stuntman Robbie Knievel's 47. Tracy Lords. She's an actress. Yeah. She's actually a pretty good straight actress.
Yeah.
She was in, most recently, she was in Benny and June Make a Hot Movie. No, what was that called?
Zach and Miri.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Yeah. Very good in that. Eagle Eye Cherry is 38 years old today, and Breckenmeyer from Road Trip and Herbie Fully Loaded and Robot Chicken, he is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 12 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Just played a band there called the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with their charismatic lead singer, Karen O. And people who see that band love them. Yep. People who, you know, they like the records, they see the band live, and they go, oh my God, I can't believe how great they are. I'm a fan for life. And they are, of course, playing the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009, 1 week from Saturday. Tickets go on sale this afternoon at 5 o'clock. You must be a K-Rock Street Team member, and you should be anyway, because there's a lot of advantages to that. It's free to sign up, and it only takes about 30 seconds on the website. But don't miss it. Online only, 5 o'clock this afternoon to get your tickets to see the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and all the great bands on the bill for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009.
All right, let's talk about The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I believe it came out in 1998. Mm-hmm. And it's a Coen Brothers film, which is fantastic. And I have always loved the movie. I didn't know there was a fest. Who knew?
Well, apparently the Big Lebowski fans, there are more of them every year. And Scott Shuffit is on the phone with us right now. He is the co-founder of the Lebowski Fest that is actually in town tonight at the Wiltern Theater. And also there's some bowling involved, too. So let's find out what's going on. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
We're great. We were talking a few minutes ago before we got to this interview that we can't think of very many movies outside of the sci-fi genre that get this kind of dedication from fans years after the movie came out. What's the deal?
Man, I don't know. It's, you know, it's a great film, and people love to quote it, and you know, there's some characters in there that people can relate to, and you know, it's just great filmmaking.
But here's my fear about a fest.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You go to, I guess you're showing the movie tonight.
That's right.
And in the bowling this morning. It's going to be a room full of people doing lines from the movie, right?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, there's a certain kind of magic in that.
Who's going to be there from the cast?
Let's see. We're going to have a lot of characters. Robin Jones, who played the Ralph's Checkout Girl, is going to be there. The dude that played Defino, he was the private investigator in the blue Volkswagen. He's going to be there. Lou Elrod, who played the lady that asked Walter to keep it down in the family restaurant. Yeah, she's awesome.
Let me interrupt you right there. What will the woman who asked the guy to keep it down in the restaurant, what will she do there tonight? Will she have a little table and she'll be signing pictures, or she'll be telling stories about being on the set while the movie was being made, or what?
Probably both. Yeah. So we'll have some time up on stage, and you know, we'll introduce her and she'll talk about her experience, you know, working with Coen Brothers and with the rest of the crew and cast. And,
will the Coen Brothers be there?
I wouldn't count on it.
Will Jeff Bridges be there?
I wouldn't count on that either.
Will John Goodman be there?
No, I don't think so.
Not going to be.
They all have an open invitation, though, if they're in town, if they hear this.
Gotten the message, by the way.
What about the Coen Brothers? What do they think about you keeping this movie alive every year?
You know, we haven't had a lot of direct contact with them. I personally think that, you know, that they would think that it's pretty funny.
They love it.
I would think they
would be flattered by it.
Of course.
Now, tell me about, first of all, I mean, are we just kind of assuming that everybody knows what The Big Lebowski is? I mean, it was, it was a popular movie, more than 10 years ago. It was based on, Jeff Bridges played a guy who was based on a real dude who called himself The Dude, and he will be there tonight, right?
Yep, Jeff Dowd.
And what was it about him that that they based a movie on him? What was the deal with the real dude?
The dude is a big character. You know what I'm saying? He's a great person, man of the people, loves to hang and, you know, have a good time, loves rock and roll, and, a good Caucasian every once in a while. But he's just, you know, he's a big character, you know, and I think that kind of stuck with the Coen Brothers and, you know.
It's a fictional story. I mean, they didn't base it on any of the details of his life, did they?
It is fictional, but some of the story is based on real life. Things that happened, like the homework in a baggie, that actually happened to another friend of theirs, Peter Exline. His car was stolen, and he found this homework in it. His friend, Big Lou Abernathy, was a private detective, so they found this kid who the homework belonged to, Jake Freeman, who is actually going to be making it out. I'm not sure if he's coming out tonight, but he will definitely be at the bowling event on Friday. Okay. But they went to his house. His dad was actually sick at the house. They did this little interrogation thing.
All right. Listen.
A lot of backstory.
Here's what I admire about you. Without the Coen Brothers and without John Goodman and without Jeff Bridges, I'm not having a fest. To me, I go, well, I guess we're not going to have a fest this year, but you guys are just going to power through and do it.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's about the fans, though. Sounds like it's about the people who also love the movie getting together and enjoying each other, right? Am I right about that, Scott?
That's exactly what it's about. I mean, because the people that come out to the event, you know, they bring the party. And, right. and they come in character and they riff on each other, and it's just a really awesome time.
Let me give out the details about this two-night event in Southern California. And by the way, this isn't an L.A. thing only. I mean, Scott does this all over the country. I mean, it's a nationwide thing going on here. Tonight, you're going to be at the Wiltern Show in the Movie, and tickets are available through LebowskiFest.com. Or we're giving away five pairs if you want to see the movie with a bunch of crazy people. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's at the Wiltern. And then tomorrow night, you guys are going bowling at Cal Bowl in Lakewood. And, again, tickets at LebowskiFest.com. And that they really got to bring the party when they start bowling, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that's when the costume contest is and, you know, the rest of the contest. And that's when it's really, really fun. We watched the movie the first night, the second movie. The second night, we become the movie.
Okay, so, exactly. Right. Hey, one more question for you. Why are the fans of this movie and the people that come to your convention, why are they called Achievers? Is that the line from the movie, too?
Yeah, it is. It refers to the Big Lebowski urban achievers, inner city youth, without the necessary means for a higher education. Yes,
gotcha.
Yes, probably are involved in.
All right, Scott. Good times. Have some White Russians for us tonight out there, and have a great time. All right.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for coming on.
Take care.
Bye. Let's talk about Fall Out Boy, shall we?
Okay.
Ooh. And we need some help understanding how this works, because apparently there's a curse on their U.S. tour. Apparently, they had a couple of trips to the hospital. They've had a show that was canceled due to lightning. He can do that to people.
I was there. I canceled it.
He does that to us, too. There's food poisoning running rampant through one bus. Someone broke their ankle. So they brought in a shaman, a medicine man, a witch doctor.
Huh.
Oh, okay.
To lift the curse of the tour.
Well, that would sure be my first response.
How does that happen? How does that work? How does the curse work? How does it get
lifted? Yeah, those are great questions. But is it possible that the problem here is all the Fall Out Boy music? Could that be what's causing maybe some of these bad things to be happening? Like, that gets God angry.
Just blame it on Dance Dance?
Yeah, you hear Dance Dance and there's lightning in the sky. I mean, maybe the problem isn't outside of Fall Out Boy is what I'm saying.
It seems like there's a lot of people who believe in this kind of thing, the curse.
But wouldn't you have to have someone put the curse on you? That would be my first question.
See, I don't understand how that works.
Has someone cursed them?
How do curses work? Can a curse just happen to you on accident, or does there have to be a curser?
Right.
That's a good question, Lisa.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my VCast phone. It gets me pumped.
Was it that commercial?
Maybe that's what. That's an interesting question. So, do you have to be cursed in order to lift a curse, or does a curse develop naturally? And then, if so, can you lift it?
And I know a lot of people in sports fans believe in curses. I don't think they can explain to you why or how. They just say, "Wow, we're having an extreme run of bad luck. I sure wish somebody could lift this curse." But most people stop short of getting a witch doctor or a shaman or whatever to come in and bless your tour.
Although you bring up the sports curses, I mean, the Cubs, you know, for 100 years, they haven't won the World Series, and they've had every kind of ceremony, every kind of witch doctor that you can imagine, every kind of blessing you can imagine over the years at Wrigley Field because they feel like somehow they got cursed and they need to lift it.
Yeah, they just need a better team, though.
Right.
I mean, really, in that particular...
It doesn't work.
Lifting the curse doesn't work.
Well, maybe they didn't get the right witch doctor.
And if they do one day win the World Series, it won't be because a curse was lifted. It would be because the right elements were in place for them to win enough baseball games to do it.
Well, that's what you and I would think.
Yeah, so you say.
But they would think that the curse has been lifted.
How do you even find a witch doctor in 2009? Is that in the Yellow Pages? I mean, what do you do?
I don't know where you would start looking.
In Google New Orleans, witch doctor? They have voodoo.
Sort of, but most of it's kind of touristy, cheesy, fake.
No, but they do really have that religion still. It came over from the islands, and there are people that practice it. Yeah.
They also say, the Fall Out Boys, that they're making the opposite of voodoo dolls. So instead of sticking pins in it or whatever, the opposite is supposed to happen. So they make healthy dolls, I guess.
And they put feather bows on them? What do they do?
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I'm not the one doing it. I don't understand the curse thing. I don't know where you would look for a witch doctor or a shaman to lift. I mean, you can't go online and go lift the curse, can you?
I don't know.
I haven't done a Google search. I bet you could find something.
I know that our audience knows all, though, because there are more of them than there are of us, and they are smarter than we are. So you can explain to us how curses work. How do you get a curse? How do you lift a curse? Is there anything to it? Do we even want Fall Out Boy's curse to be lifted? I mean, there are a lot of questions.
Well, no
is
the answer to that. Yeah. But is there always a curser? Does it matter? Is it easier to lift if there's a curser, or it just happens naturally? We don't understand how all this cursing stuff happens. So
I wonder if anybody out there could call and tell us of a situation where they've felt that they were involved in a curse. They felt that they were cursed or had something put on them and how they got out of it.
And what ended it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know how that whole thing works because, you know, maybe there's a bunch of stuff available to us that we are ignoring and it's to our detriment. Maybe we should be more well-versed in this. Maybe we'd have a better show. With the appropriate witch doctor's help.
If we could find somebody to lift the curse of this show.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know how that works. But if you have any info, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
A few moments ago, we were talking about Fall Out Boy. They believe their tour is cursed, and they have hired a witch doctor to basically lift the curse because bad things have been happening to them. They've had injuries on the crew. They had a show canceled by lightning. They've just had nothing but trouble. And we started talking about, you know, I don't know how you begin to even know you're cursed unless somebody tells you. I don't know how you lift a curse. Where do you go for information like that? Anine, who emailed us, I wish you would call us on the phone, she says her mom is a witch and she has put curses on quite a few people.
No kidding.
I'd love to find out more about that. And from time to time, you know, we've talked to Wiccans on this show who are, in fact, witches, and they do have curses. But the ones that we've talked to tell us that they only ever put good curses on people. So I don't know how that would apply to this.
Which I find hard to believe. If you have that power.
I do, too.
Yeah. Occasionally, someone's going to cut you off in traffic, and you're going to throw a curse their way.
Yeah, whatever kind of power you've got, you're going to figure out a way to use for evil. But we clearly do not know much about this topic, and that's why we're throwing it open to you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Joe on line 8, first of all, and find out what he's got. Apparently, he's got some information on this.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
You're a Wiccan priest?
Yes, I am.
And you used to practice in New Orleans, is that correct?
No, I was. I had many teachers, and one of them was a hoodoo practitioner. And he worked, and the subject we worked on mostly was on poppets and variations of poppets. Those are what you would refer to as, and not in a positive manner, but a voodoo doll.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I know you mentioned that. I know Kevin mentioned, what do you just get like a voodoo doll and do pins? But apparently, we don't do that. You can, but the ones that I've made that I've learned from my my teacher were to heal and help, and also to remove curses and jinxes.
Okay. But what do? Do you start it full of pins and pull one out each day? I mean, how do you get the opposite effect?
The opposite effect also depends, the material that you use, what you stuff in the poppet, because what you're doing essentially is you're making an image of the situation or the person, say like yourself. Say if you have like an illness, a cancer or something, you put in herbs and stones or what have you, articles or what we call relics into the poppet to help heal, and also the color of the poppet itself, the material that you use.
Have you ever seen cold hard facts where you know for a fact that that worked, or does it basically just depend on how much you believe it?
I've made poppets for several people,
right?
For legal issues, and they have worked, and they've told me the results, and they said their lawyers had their mouths drawn open because they couldn't believe what had just had happened. And it worked.
But unfortunately, Joe, the problem with all of these, and I'm not trying to throw water on what you believe in, but the problem with all of these is there's no way to know whether if you had not built the poppet that the same result would not have happened. There's no comparison that we can make, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's another issue. But it's just also the belief. It's also what you put into it. Will come out, say, like for the Fallout Boys, I don't know their situation or what really has happened. We're just hearing stories,
right?
Allegedly these things happen.
Right.
But a lot of the times with these curses, a lot of them are self-imposed.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, where do curses come from?
How do you do that to yourself?
Well, through a lot of negativity, like, what was it, a couple of years ago we heard that they were having a lot of issues, internal issues.
Who was the band?
Well, a lot of that negative energy can just manifest, and then when it just manifests in different forms, and sometimes they go past them, but sometimes they don't go through them completely, and then negative energy just builds and builds, and one person can say one thing to another person, and all of a sudden something happens, like someone just by accident happens to hurt their ankle or something.
Yeah.
And then they believe, it's a curse. Something else happens. Well, lightning, because it's a curse. Once they keep on with that mindset.
Right. So they may be creating it for themselves. I got you.
It starts manifesting.
Okay. All right. Very informative, Joe. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
No problem.
All right. We have another caller. We have Dr. Sam. Doctor? Hello.
Hello.
Is this Dr. Samuel Manishian?
There you go.
How are you, my friend?
This isn't a doctor, Kevin. This is the Armenian comedian. Yeah. What are you trying to pull here? Yeah. This is obviously Sam, the Armenian comedian.
He's a comedian during the day. He's a doctor at night.
He's not a doctor.
He is.
Sam, why are you calling?
I'm a Renaissance man. You know that.
That is true. He is a Renaissance man.
And you know what? My mother, she used to be doing a little bit witchcrafting at my home while I was growing up.
Your mom used to do witchcraft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like remove curses and putting curses, like melting metals and then put over your head with a pot. My father used to help.
All right, slow down. You melt metal and then you put it over your head in a pot.
Yeah, it's like a water over your head, and then they put this melted, what you call those silver metal around the battery cable?
You mean like copper?
Copper.
Yeah?
Yeah, they used to melt copper, and then they used to put over their head with a towel and everything so it doesn't burn the
the person.
Okay, and what would that do for them?
It will remove the curse. She was once you put the melting copper in the like the water, and then it will be making sounds like pah, pah, whoo. You know, like
Sam, you're a horrible storyteller. We have a lot of trouble following you. We're trying. What was the curse that she was trying to lift? Where did the curse come from, and what was it?
Like a person come over, and then they say, I've been cursed. Could you remove it? That's what she used to do.
Oh, that was her business. So someone would come to her and say, I'll give you a certain amount of money if you melt copper and put it over my head.
Right.
Was there any other way, or was she just a copper?
And then also another one is melting incense, like, dried leaves of a garlic and onion,
right,
and mm-hmm. pepper and all kinds of
things. So you burn that.
They burn that, and you walk around three times.
Walk around it three times in a circle.
Okay. Yeah.
And what does that do?
It will remove your curses.
Okay. All right.
Is your mom still alive, Sam?
No, no. She's in heaven.
Hmm.
Or not.
Yeah.
You remember his hit song, Mama and Papa.
Yeah.
Remember that? Come on,
right.
Dean.
Oh, that was a tribute to his late great mom. That's right.
And that was Dean's favorite song.
It was, yeah.
I did enjoy that very much. Sam, since your mom was so good at it, is it something you picked up? Do you ever do witchcraft too?
Yes. You know what? I also blame myself that Barack Obama was elected because I was invited in reincarnation witch doctor, and I put a voodoo doll in the basement. Before inauguration day, I was saying the same joke that even though
But Dr. Sale, let me just keep up with you. So
he's not a doctor.
So you went down to the basement. You are a witch doctor?
Yes.
Okay. He's a witch doctor,
Bean. He's everything.
He's a
renaissance
man. All right, what does this have to do with Barack Obama? I don't understand.
Okay. Well, I don't believe in reincarnation, but my American friends from K-Rock that I developed many friends.
Right.
And then they told me that reincarnation, blah, blah, blah. So I made a joke about, being a witch doctor.
Okay.
And I was invited when the White House was being built. And the black slaves were making the White House. They called me one night. They say, help me, brother. And then we need a brother to rule this White House.
Oh, this was in the 1700s or 1800s or whenever that was built. When was that built, Dean?
Yeah.
In a former life.
I put a in the basement, looked like a black man. And then that's what happened. So before inauguration day, I was telling this joke. I'm a psychic, failure.
Okay, I'm out. Sam, God bless you, but is it a joke or is it a message from the great? I don't even know what the F you're talking about anymore.
I'm a person that I am confusing people. That's my job.
Yes.
Well, you're very good at it. You're very good at it. All right, Dr. Sam.
I think we're just not smart enough to understand all that you have to offer, Sam.
Exactly. All right, thank you very much for the call, Sam.
And Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
I really appreciate your support for my movie, Born High.
Gotta go. Thank you very much for the call. Bye-bye now. All right.
Okay,
see you later.
That's the kind of expert we needed right there.
That was very helpful.
Bring it all home.
Now it's clear.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It is 7:54 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ready for the update on John and Kate plus 8?
Oh, dear God.
The story
more?
Seems to be developing every hour.
It is. It's a developing story.
All right.
Wow.
For those who don't know, John and Kate are a couple that have 8 kids, and they have their own reality show on, I don't know, Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel or
TLC. I think it's the Learning Channel.
Yeah. I don't know. One of these bogus cable networks. Anyway, it's fascinating because if you've ever seen it, she's a bitch. And he apparently is stepping out, getting a little strange with a 23-year-old grade school teacher.
You've seen all the reality shows. Really. You see how they interview them one-on-one with the camera,
yes.
And they ask him questions. She yells at him the whole time.
Yes.
It's really ridiculous.
So anyway, John and Kate were due to be on the Today Show this morning to talk about their new book.
Yes.
And John mysteriously canceled.
What?
How about that? She appeared by herself.
Mm.
8 Little Faces is the name of their book.
Yeah.
8 Little Crying Faces because Daddy's leaving home.
Did they bring up this this story with her?
Yes.
On the show this morning?
When asked about John's infidelity, Kate said she is hesitant to believe it.
Hesitant to believe it?
That's quite the recommendation of his character right there. So, anyway.
But she didn't deny it.
But whatever.
Okay, sorry.
The teacher that he's sleeping with.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Her brother
yes. has gone to Us Weekly magazine and said, yes, they're doing it. I hear it through these paper-thin walls.
Right.
Yes. Uh-huh. She has gone to People magazine saying, no, he's a liar. He's a drug dealer. I'm throwing him out of my house. He's shady.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
the brother has responded again.
which magazine did he go to?
Us Weekly.
Okay.
I'm sad to hear my sister's comments. I never wanted my sister to be hurt by this. I was only trying to protect her by getting the truth out there. I love my sister. Would never say a bad word about her. That said, the facts are the facts. And he is not the guy I would pick for my sister.
Wow.
Those two live together, you're saying?
Yes.
Not for long.
That's going to be a little frosty at home.
Oh, it's the best.
He's a gem.
This story's good.
They're both. I hate to say this, guys, but weep, you know?
Weep.
Weep.
That's weep. True.
Lindsay Lohan's mother, Dina, is rushing to defend her daughter, Allie, amid accusations that she parties all the time with her superstar sister instead of going to school.
I heard that her girl loves to party all the time. Party all the time. Party all the time.
My God.
Don't give yourself applause.
No, you don't get to applaud do yourself.
Man, this is f***ing weird.
There have been several photos on the internet of Allie vacationing with her sister in Hawaii and walking on red carpets. And everyone keeps asking, why isn't this girl in class? Why isn't she getting an education? Well, Dina Lohan has an answer for you.
Okay.
Allie's homeschooled.
Yeah.
Booyakah.
She's not home.
Right.
What about that part?
Well, it doesn't
and
matter.
There's no school.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
I'm a firm believer in staying in school, Allie Lohan says. But in the business, it's just too difficult for Allie to be in school.
In what
sure, with all the work Allie's doing, all the movies and TV shows and albums she's releasing, how could she possibly go to school? Oh, wait a minute. She doesn't have any projects because she's talentless.
Wow.
Is Dina Lohan maybe thinking of Miley Cyrus? Is she confused as to which one is hers?
Her kid's
your
not...
daughter is, your daughter's out too late. She's going to nightclubs. She's drinking and drugging. Yeah, that's all right. She's homeschooled. Oh, okay. Well, in that case, murder button. Murder button.
Wow. That's shockingly dumb.
Spectacular. And Catholic reviewers have reviewed Angels and Demons.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, let me guess.
Here it comes.
Sure they hate it.
What
here
a surprise.
Here it comes. Actually, better than they expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The let's see. This is from Rome. Rome, the religious newspaper, said, the film is more than 2 hours of harmless entertainment.
Wow.
Which hardly affects the genius and mystery of Christianity. It's a video game that, first of all, sparks curiosity and is also maybe a bit of fun. So they were expecting to get slammed by the Catholic Church, but apparently,
how about that?
They think it's just a movie.
How about that?
What?
It's a strange position for the Catholic Church to take.
Huh. Yeah,
there's no overreaction in this story.
Kevin Smith is so pissed off right now. I mean, Dogma got slammed. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Amy Heckerling, writer and director, is 55 years old today. Guitarist Phil Campbell of Motorhead turns 48 years old. The captain, Robbie Knievel, turns 47. Tracy
what
Lord.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
That was his answer, by the way.
Captain
in total.
Of the Laughing Brigade, apparently. He's 47 years old today. Former porn star and actress Tracy Lords is 40 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry. Slay the Right. That's the name of his big hit song. What?
Save Tonight.
Save a Night?
Save Tonight.
Save Tonight.
Save Tonight.
Tonight.
Save Tonight.
Yeah.
Let's get him another song. He is 38 years old today. And actor Brecken Meyer, who of course works with Seth Green over there on Robot Chicken, but is an actor in his own right. Herbie Fully Loaded, Road Trip, and let's not forget the Garfield movies.
Yeah. Oh, God,
sure.
No.
He and Seth work on a new project, by the way, called Titan Maximum. It's a new stop motion animation comedy.
Oh, really?
And I did some voices for them the other day.
Awesome.
And it's a very funny script. I think you're going to
enjoy. Is it a movie?
It's a TV show.
A TV show.
TV series.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the name of one of Tracy Lord's movies, too?
Titan Maximum?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Titan, meaning big penis.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Sweet. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So I saw David Alan Greer's face on the my TV screen last night at the Laker game, and I thought, how did that dude get tickets? Wow, was that a shock to me?
Well, every playoff season I call my peeps.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank all my friends at Nike.
So you don't support the team at all throughout the year, but once the playoffs come, it's the place to be, right?
I'm not sure what people call a playoff hoe.
Playoff hope.
Yeah.
Only playoffs.
In the playoff.
Go!
Kings. Yeah! Go! Is it Dot, Angels, get whatever, whoever wins, go, baby! You know, that kind of thing.
I went to a Laker game where I sat next to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, boy.
And he brought his little kid. And Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't know rule one about basketball.
Really?
And he kept going, what was that? What happened? And I would say, traveling. Well, what is that? It was funny to me because he's such a big star for the first 5 minutes. And I was like, why don't you shut the F up so we can watch the basketball game?
Sounds like my wife.
A whole game.
That guy with that tattoo, he keeps jumping up and down. Hey, somebody should open a Kobe steak. Did you hear what I was saying?
I did.
With the Kobe steak.
Kobe steak.
My hot dog's gone. I want sushi. I was like, shut up! Leave me alone!
Do you care enough to have thoughts on this matchup of Lakers Houston, Dag? Is this
yeah,
one that
I'm
you're excited
you
about?
Right
or
now,
are you,
I'm
going
to tell you right now. I don't. They did not look good to me. I mean, they did win the game
last night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. But they do not have that feeling of a cohesive team, of like they're on a mission. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if
it seemed like they were on a mission last night to me.
Yeah.
It was ugly, but they won.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, I was sitting down talking about sushi when Derek Fisher did something, and I was like, now see what you did!
He ran over, yeah, and so you didn't see that, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Did you see when Ron Artest got thrown out?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, me
Ron
too.
Artest started getting crazy. We were like six rows up. I said, here it comes, baby. Hit him with the beer. Wow.
Well, it was an amazingly short amount of time that Ron Artest was yelling at the ref before he turned and went over to Kobe. I don't know what he was going to do to Kobe, but.
And then Yao Ming. I love Yao Ming because his English is kind of like Mandarin and homeboy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He has
yes.
that dialogue like, you know, he's been very hard for me and my people and stuff, you know, and the U.S. and whatnot. He's like a Chinese black dude, you know. So then he grabbed Artest and started talking to him, and, you know.
Could you hear what he was saying?
No, we weren't that close, but Artest was doing a brilliant game, but then he went crazy.
Yeah.
Because his eyes got big, and he was like, nah, I just want, you know, talk to him about rainbows and whatnot. And there's a spaceship that was right over. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that crazy look in his eyes.
Yep, he just kept going, and they're like, please walk away. And you know he was sending texts and calling, man, call me back. Hit me back around. I'll test again. Brother, you saw the game. Hit me back. I'm going to discuss things. 3 a.m. Hit me back. Yes. I know there's a lot of texts that night.
Sure. This is the great David Alan Greer in the studio this morning, by the way. He is here because he's got something to pimp, and he will be at the Irvine Improv at the Irvine Spectrum.
I didn't know
tonight.
That. Wow.
Yes,
tonight.
Sunday.
You should go.
I think I will for 1 till 8 o'clock. But you know what? I love you guys.
Well, it's hard to keep up with all your stuff. He's also on Dancing with the Stars on Mondays and Tuesdays. He's got the chocolate news. So you can see him on Comedy Central.
We got to update that.
It's hard to know what project is he.
Something's hurting inside. Why is he so mean?
That's a great question.
The chocolate news got.
What?
It wasn't renewed. That was one of the things I was talking to the former ABA player last night. Like, wait, what say, brother? It's like, show didn't get picked up. A lot of chocolate news, oh, man. That's that's funny. Yeah. When's it coming back? I was like, I'm not coming back. Yeah, that's gone. That's gone. But I still have 700 chocolate news T-shirts that I have to sell.
What I'm at the gig, like, when's it coming back? I said, in 2 weeks. $20. Let's go, baby.
you had to buy those with your own money, so now it's on you to sell them, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I was a good, if I hadn't had this production meeting, I was about to go big with the bobbleheads.
Oh,
so
wow.
So that would have been bobbleheads and T-shirts. Just all in the garage.
Sure.
In the chocolate news suit, you know what I mean?
Was it a surprise to you when they pulled the plug, or did you see it
coming? It's never a surprise. It's like a relationship going bad. You know, we were on the bubble. We were exactly where we didn't want to be.
Yeah.
We were doing well, but we weren't doing well enough. How well should we have been doing? Better than what we were doing.
Yeah.
Could you give us a number? Just, we were expecting more than what you delivered. what does that mean? I'm just disappointed. You know, had high hopes. We really put our heart and soul into this. And
you get a number out of them?
What it is? Let's move on, because it's just not working.
All right.
Okay? It's just not working.
Well, that sounds frustrating.
Haven't you heard that before?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. We can be friends. You want to do Larry the Cable Guy roast? Okay. Love you so much that we're canceling it. Yeah. Something like
that. All right. So Dancing with the Stars, since the last time we talked to you, that was a little bit more in your control, right?
Hold on. Let me just check my camera. Oh, it's the day of failure. That's what it is.
Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. What is it?
Huh? Look, can I tell you that, and this is no joke, we were impressed that you hung on for as long as you did, as poor a dancer as you are. I mean, I'm going to compliment you with that.
How dare you? How
I'm just saying,
you.
Very hard show to win.
You're saying that, listen, I know exactly where I was, and I know I should have been on that show 3 weeks longer than I was. You're telling me that Lawrence Taylor ripped on me?
No, I'm not.
With
I'm
his
telling
big
you
robot
you're right
moves.
About that.
Come on. And that sappy couple, Chuck and Julianne, those two humping in the green room, you know, singing country music to each other.
Yeah. I'm going to love you till that hay goes sour.
Yeah. I should have been there longer than them.
I have a serious question about the Dancing with the Stars experience, and I don't think I've ever asked any of the contestants that we've had on before. But, Dave, I know that you are a lover, and I know there's nothing you can do about that. You ooze sexuality.
Yeah, I know.
How do you – when you train with those women, like your partner Kim, who's very, very attractive, Kim when you spend that much time doing such intimate moves all day, every day, how do you not accidentally fall into her? You know what I mean?
Oh, we fell into each other. I can't really do
it. Into each other's arms, he meant.
Well,
of course.
I can't say that. No. Okay, well, there was
– it has to be,
interpret
it has
what
to
I
feel
just
like
said.
Sexy time a little bit, right?
Well, I mean, couples certainly have come out of the show.
That's true.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when you're that close, and I've squeezed, how do I do this again? I don't want to get you in trouble with
this. Well, so you've squeezed her parts.
Parts,
oh,
yes.
Sure.
And for good ones. Maybe sounds out of her.
Okay.
A body, mm-hmm. Both ends, maybe.
Okay.
That just because when you squeeze and trying to get that, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Happen.
So that's
is
not
that okay?
Sexy time.
Is that, was
yeah, that was okay.
Did you have sex with her?
No, because I'm married. Because I'm married. But when it first started, I'd show up with my sweats on, no drawers, you know. You let them know what's going on. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Is it like that again? You know? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no sweatpants allowed? Oh, it's like that? Okay, man. Well, you don't sit on my lap. Tell me what kind of moves we're going to be doing.
Did she make you stay 6 feet away? Was that part of the deal?
She got right into it. These women are like nurses, and we are like old men.
Right.
Like,
Roy, yeah, just sit down. True. We'll wash your body and continue on.
They're just there to make you look better.
They're very professional, right?
Yeah, and you get into the show, so it's all about, you know, only, I guess some people, you know, get involved, but usually the stories of woe from the dancers, it's hard to get it out of them because it's really very much like Disneyland. You know, Mickey wouldn't want me to tell you.
Right.
Really? Nobody got drunk and showed up? And Mickey wouldn't want me to tell you.
Wow,
so they don't really don't want to talk a lot of smack about people. But,
I understand.
But, you know, there have been affairs, but usually the guys that are really pushing up on the chicks are like the tools. You know what I mean?
Right.
The guys are kind of tool-y and stuff.
Sure. Was it the hardest thing you ever had to do in your life to rehearse and learn how to do those dances every week?
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now.
Looks like it would be.
I ran a marathon. And this felt like I ran a marathon every day.
Really?
Like,
it was how many hours a day were you rehearsing?
About 4 hours a day. I just would get up and take Advil immediately.
Your body's probably
immediately.
Just
yes, man. I was just from head to toe. It felt like I was sparring. That's what it felt like.
What
like,
is
like
it
I
that,
got in a fight.
What is it that worked you that works you out so hard? I mean, you do other
it's aerobic.
Stuff.
You're lifting the chick. You're moving. Even the dance that like say if you go on YouTube right now and look at the waltz, and I'm all like, "What are you doing? Your face was even my face muscles hurt because you know you're just like I want to win this so bad." And you're like, it doesn't even look like you're kicking, but inside you think you're kicking like Baryshnikov. You
know, oh,
you're
I gotcha.
Like,
all right.
I'm gonna win them over.
But some of these guys, like, you know, God bless our friend Steve-O, who you know we love. I mean, he was getting hurt every single week. He would hurt something else.
Apparently you said I'm not as good as him. That's what you just said. You said, you know, you said I wasn't good at that.
He did say that, but I wasn't trying to make any direct comparisons.
Well, no, you were trying to, you know, stir it up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying you did very well on the show, Dag, and you should be proud of how you did. That's what I'm saying.
A lot of people say that now.
You get hurt a lot, though, in rehearsing for that, I think.
You do, but I didn't, which was good. But, you know, a lot of people, like Nancy O'Dell, you know, she dropped out because she had a bad knee. Well, most guys, we all have ripped our knees out. You know, Gilles had a bad shoulder, a bad knee. I ripped my knee out when I was like 19. Everybody's done that. But, you know, a lot of the chicks are like, oh my God, I have a bruise on my breast.
have to stop. For 6 weeks.
Yeah. So it
why did you want to do the show, Dag?
I didn't. You know, they've asked me about 3 times, and I've always said no. Why? Because I'm too famous for your stinky, cheesy, rigged reality show.
Right.
And then, so they asked me again, and I said that, you know, I'm too famous for your stinky, cheesy, rigged reality show. And I got a call right after my colonoscopy from my manager that said the Chocolate News was canceled. And I was like, what? Get Dancing with the Stars on the phone immediately. I want them. Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. So it was like that within 24 hours. Like, really? But I thought you said, I did not. Are you kidding me? Jeff Ross called like a Mooney. And he said, you got it. Dude, this is the most fun.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Adam Carolla got weepy. Got
is
weepy.
That right?
Yeah. Like, I thought he was kidding. He's like, let me tell you something, man. When you're on stage about to do your paso doble, and you see the whole family out there and America's cheering you on, and you take that little piece of sweetness on your right arm and you go out and you give your heart and soul to America.
I was like, are you kidding
me? We're going to need that clip for when Adam comes in tomorrow so we can ask him about that.
It's true.
Tears in his eyes.
He was choking. He's like, look, I'm being serious. He's getting a little choky.
Wow. That's awesome.
We all did, you know. It was like when we got bad scores, I mean, we came in the next day. And it was just a bad scene from, what's the dance movie, Step It Up? I was like, look, Kim, what we got to do is we got to dig down deep. And we got to make all that love and passion put in our toes. We got to kick harder than anyone's ever seen in this universe. And then all of a sudden, like, she was, like, kind of crying. The chick there was like, the judges hate us. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? And I was like, I don't know. But we got to win them back. So right now, I'm a team player. And then we just stopped and said, this is really gay. So
you had to feel, I mean, here's Dak, a guy who's performed on Broadway. You had to feel gayer doing this than you ever did in New York.
Oh, my God, yes. It was
that's awesome. All right, we got to take a quick break.
Of course.
David Alan Greer is here. He is doing his hilarious stand-up at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Go to improv.com. I can't believe that it's still only $25 to see the great David Alan Greer on stage.
It is.
I can't believe that.
And, you know, but, it's Mother's Day. Lisa.
Right.
Yeah.
What is that?
Why are you looking at Lisa?
Don't you want to come and see me on Sunday?
So that you can make her a mother, right?
Yeah.
All right. David Alan Greer on stage. Go to improv.com. We'll take a break and come back with more after this.
This is the worst conversation that's ever been had during a song.
It's a
Kevin Beach Show on the world famous K-Rock. It's 8:27. Our friend David Alan Greer is here on stage at the Improv tonight through Sunday. Why was that a bad conversation? I'm trying to help out my friend Dave with his dog problem.
Lot, what's it called?
It's called
Proin 50.
Stop leak.
Does that work for human women?
It's no. I don't know if it does or not. It's an incontinence pill for dogs.
Listen, I also came here
yesterday.
Excuse me? What?
Yesterday, when you showed up.
First of all, that's a lie.
You're the only guest that we've ever had.
That's a lie. That's
show up.
That's a lie.
On the wrong day.
You are a liar.
You were here yesterday.
That is so not true. And you're just trying to say something funny. It's
not
funny,
bro. And you said, don't tell Kevin and Bean. Is that correct?
I did not say that because I was not here. But I've had a. Remember when Puffy, that guy, was impersonating him?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's been happening to me, and it's been going to radio stations. I was in Akron doing thing.
But Ralph knows you.
You talk about cricket.
The dude saw you.
Thing? Who's Ralph?
Ralph here at the show.
I don't know who you're talking about.
And Alex, our producer.
Oh,
you knew him yesterday when you showed up and said, I'm sorry, I'm here a day early.
Yeah, I didn't say that because I wasn't here. Bring Ralph in. Okay. I mean, I'd say, and Alex, too. They know it's
Ralph or Alex, come in, please.
See? Right. They know.
Look, Dad, you know, it's a compliment. We have a lot of trouble with our black guests arriving on time, so we appreciate that you were 24 hours early. That's to your credit, my friend.
Be honest. Alex, be honest. You haven't seen me, right, in months.
Stop. No,
let go of her.
Maybe here's what happened yesterday.
No! You are a liar. It's not me.
You don't know what she's saying yet. Why are
you? She's lying.
We had John Cho come in, you know, for Star Trek. And so Charles, our awesome security guard, says, your next guest is here. And in walks this gorgeous, handsome black man. And I said, I didn't know they made Lieutenant Sulu an awesome, attractive African-American.
She did say that. And she paused like, right? Right? Come on. That was funny.
Why were you here yesterday? What happened?
That's a long trip, isn't it? That's a bummer.
Right, here's what happens.
Don't you look at yourself and go, I hate me right now.
The look on his face when he realized Ralph and I, you know, noticed that you shouldn't be here, the look on David's face was like, you have got...
There was a question, but I woke up at 6, right? And the baby was crying, and my wife was like, what? What are you doing? I was like, honey, I gotta go. And she said, but can you? I can't do anything.
So self-preservation.
Because I'm on a major tour of one club in Orange County that I've gotta go pump. And it's not just one station, okay? It's a lot of stations, okay? It's a whole satellite tour. Uh-huh. So once I got out of the door, I was like, I could either call my manager at 6 or just wing it. And there was a question, but I was like, come on. And I listened, and you guys were like, coming up next, not David Allen Green. All right, guys, stay tuned. Here we go.
I remember saying that specifically.
Weezer. And not David Allen Green. So I was like, oh, boy.
That sounds like something I would do, and I would really start doubting myself at that moment.
Why don't you tell Kevin Amin what you did then?
What did you do?
After you left.
Yesterday when you left.
That you didn't go home and you drove her home for 2 hours.
I drove her home for 2 hours.
Honey, I'm busy. I can't help you with the baby today. I got a lot of work to do.
I drove around. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond 2 times. You know, they're like...
Twice.
We open at 10. Please leave the parking lot.
You know, and I was like...
Isn't it crappy? There's nothing you can do at that hour. There's nothing that's cool that's open.
I bought $47 in motorcycle magazine. And that's not a lie. Then I went to the pharmacy. Yeah, and I sat next to this old white guy who kept checking his blood pressure. And I read, you know, just all about brake pads.
Oh, he's got all
exciting life to be a star.
Wow.
And then I came home and still talk smack. I was like, you know, it's really hard. I'm so tired from being up so long. My wife is like, how'd it go? And I'm like, what? How'd what go? She's, you know, you're surprised. It's great, great.
So how did you pull it off this morning that you had to get up and come into Kevin and Bean?
It's another radio show.
Oh, another
one.
Oh,
didn't you do it yesterday? I go, yeah, but that was another station. You know, there's more than one station.
I love that.
Would you mind if we called her? Can we call her? Please, God, don't just ask. Please, God, don't
I'm just asking.
She tells me repeatedly everything. Why do you keep doing this? Why? After my little tirade with Dancing with the Stars, why? Why would you say this? Why would you say that on camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, always. Mm-hmm. Well, but anyways, thanks a lot for selling me out, Alex.
Anytime, dude, anytime.
Well, you could have, by the way, anytime you show up, we'll full squeeze you in.
Apparently not.
Except for
yesterday. According to Little Miss I'm in Boss. You know?
I'm going to expect you tomorrow. I'd like you to see you about 7:30.
She was like, dude, we can't squeeze you on. We have
That's what
a
I meant.
PA.
We did have a very busy show yesterday. That is
thank
true.
Thank you.
The set of Star Trek, not the movie, but from the series,
how
a PA, a retired PA that will be calling.
This was the real Mr. Sulu that we had on yesterday. Dad.
Big deal! Come on! Big deal!
David Allen Greer is going to be at the Irvine Improv.
God, just really make it really difficult.
Tonight, what he says.
Tonight through Sunday. Now, is he there? We don't know.
At least he's getting into it too.
Maybe he's just taking 4 days off.
Maybe I'm really going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm just going to show off tonight. Okay. I remember the good old days when this show had class.
Oh, this show never had class.
Oh, yeah. Remember when it was like the penthouse chick was there? Or some Playboy Bunny of the Year one time.
Oh, in New York, you mean?
No, it was here. And she goes, I remember you, dude, from the Playboy match. I'm like, I don't. And she had that look, and she was really hot. And she was like, no, we met before.
Oh, my God.
In the grotto. And I swear to you. I went with it because she was, you know, Playboy Bunny of the Year. And she was like, with that laser hot chick look, like, I know you.
That certainty.
About you.
And wow.
I'm like, I've never been in the grotto.
Yeah, uh-huh. Selective memory.
That you remember.
Reservoir.
Yeah. Sure, honey. Oh. Wink, wink.
Is it possible she was telling the truth and you forgot? Is that possible?
I hope so.
Dave's forgotten about a lot of good times. He's forgotten about more good times than we've had, that's for sure.
I still have the suit, though. I still have my green
that
suit.
That famous suit.
Oh, I know the suit.
That green suit's the best.
I donated it to the Smithsonian. I did.
David Allen Greer partied in it one whole night and then showed up in New York the next day covered with wine stains.
Well, that's
it was all stained.
Part of it. Part of it.
Oh, that was, yeah, that wasn't just wine stains, I'll tell you that.
It was a museum of stains.
All right, we are out of time. Unfortunately, but the great David Allen Greer is going to be on stage tonight through Sunday at the Irvine Spectrum. Go to improv.com. Dag, thanks for coming in on the right day, man.
Hey,
we appreciate
it. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
And go.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We want to thank Emily Aldana from Claremont for listening this morning, too, because she just picked up her tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009. She doesn't have to sweat the on sale this afternoon at 5. You do, and that's why you should go to krock.com for all the details. Make sure you are signed up as a street team member to buy the tickets when they go on sale. Again, that's this afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Let's say good morning to LaQuisha. Hey, LaQuisha.
How you doing, boys?
Very well. How about you?
Last night I was watching The Cougar, right? Now, this show is about a 40-year-old woman who's trying to find, like, a 20-something-year-old boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And there's only down, like, 8 of them. So she's got to find out who is really there for true love and who isn't. So they decide the best way to do that is to have all the boys write down their worst secret ever.
Okay.
And she's going to read all the secrets out loud and pick the one that's the most interesting to her. Pick 2 of them to go on a date with her. So these are the kind of things we learn about our suitors on the Cougar.
When I was younger, I tortured some crabs I got at the beach.
Now, torturing small animals usually is a sign of a serial killer.
Sure, yeah, there's that.
That's not a good thing at all.
I would have found out who wrote that one early on.
Yeah, that's trouble.
But she kept reading. She passed and learned more things about these guys.
At bars, I pretend to be gay when a guy is hitting on me to get free drinks.
I bet you boys have done that a few times, haven't you?
If guys were to hit on us
and, good idea,
and offer us drinks, we would have, probably.
Well, she goes through them all, and she decides to pick the 2 guys with the following secrets. I was sent to rehab by my parents for a drug problem.
Okay.
And I cheated on my girlfriend with her best friend.
Really?
Those are the 2 guys she decides to go out on a date on. So one of these guys, Ryan, the ex-Marine, he's the one who says that he went to rehab, right?
Right.
So she says, okay, tell me more about this story. And that's when it dawns on me when I'm listening to him. He's lying.
Well, I was 17, still in high school. I hung with the wrong crowds. You know, I smoked a lot of pots. And, one day my mom caught me and sent me to rehab.
That's a lie.
For pot?
No, you're just trying to sound interesting.
Yeah.
I was with the wrong crowd, and I smoked some pot, and my mom caught me and sent me to rehab. That never happened.
That's true.
Never.
That's true. You're right.
So she believes him like a fool, and she says, all right, you can ask anything you want about me, my deepest, darkest secrets. It's only fair that I give you the same access to my inner personality. And this is what he comes up with.
So your turn-ons.
Yeah. My turn-ons. I was really hoping that you would ask me about my past, any personal struggles that I've had.
Now, what turns you on? So, how do I get in your pants, 40-year-old lady?
Yeah.
So she just cut him loose right then and there. Cut him loose. He's gone.
Wow. She kicked him off the show, you
off
mean?
Off the show.
Well, how does that happen? I thought you had to wait till the end.
No, she can give the kiss off anytime she wants.
How about that?
She got to get rid of 3 guys.
Okay.
And so she gave the kiss off to him. Kiss
right.
off. Well, there's a guy on the show who's a musician that she really liked in the beginning, but the past couple of weeks he hasn't done much, so he's sort of been in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the producer said, how do we get that guy, the musician, back into the foreground of the show? Oh, I'd have got it. Our next challenge is you have to write a song for the Cougar.
Oh.
No one of these other guys do nothing. This guy's got a guitar and everything.
Right.
These other guys just have to sing a song, Acapulco.
Acapella.
Yeah, that too.
Right.
And so Adam, he has to break out his song, and here's what we get.
It was the night I tried to sleep in the den, the Cougar Den. The lights were off, and so was my belt. But baby, you know I'm gonna make your heart melt.
Okay. Oh,
wow.
That's the guy who is the musician?
No, that's not. This is some of the other guys.
That is true love right there.
This is what they have to try to do in this challenge, write a love song.
All right.
And Joe didn't do much better.
Stacy, you make me feel so good. Stacy, I'm something. I'm glad I met you when I could. something or other.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of work.
He really put his heart into that one.
A lot of work went into that one.
I feel bad for him pouring all his soul and whatnot into that song.
Sure.
Then Colt comes along. He's the musician, of course, because his name is Colt.
Of course.
And he wears ascots.
There's a long way between who I am and what you see. And one of these days, you're gonna see.
I didn't understand that.
Hey there, Delilah. I'm stuck in New York City. Anyway, he obviously won the contest.
Yeah.
So they move on to the end of the show, my favorite part, which is the kiss-off, where if she kisses you on the lips, you get to stay. If she turns her face and gives you her cheek to kiss, then you got to leave.
Right.
It is the single most unsanitary elimination ceremony on any reality show, in my opinion. So everyone gathers together, but one guy in the house is missing. Austin is missing.
What?
So she got to go looking for him in the house, and she finds him in his room in the house crying like a bitch.
Oh, no.
Really? Crying like a bitch because he thinks she's going to eliminate him. So he's all nervous.
This has been, like, one of the best experiences of my life. I just really don't want it to end. I feel like it's ending. I feel like every time after I end some time with you, I'm just like kicking myself, thinking like, oh, I should have done this differently, I should have done that differently.
Is this going to be one of them times where you're kicking yourself saying, I should have been crying like a bitch?
Wow, doesn't that make her want to kick him off immediately?
That, I would think so. So he gets back in line for the kiss-off, and she starts eliminating people. First of all, she gets rid of David, only other brother in the house, by the way, gone. Naturally. It's an all-white policy on this show, apparently. So he's gone, and then she goes to pick the next one, and Austin is still nervous. So nervous, he got to run into the bathroom. And luckily, his microphone was still on.
Oh, oh good. No. Oh.
Now, keep in mind, it's the kiss-off, okay? She got to kiss him.
Wow.
Either on the mouth or him kissing her face.
Nope.
Regardless of the decision she makes.
No.
Okay, so this just got interesting.
If she wasn't going to eliminate him before, she's sure as hell going to eliminate him now.
Right, because there's no way she wants to kiss him on
exactly.
the lips.
Exactly. Well, she does eliminate poor Austin, who is crying and throwing up like an infant. And afterwards, he had some regrets about how he performed on the Cougar.
I just felt like I came across so bad.
Really?
You think? What do you think? Was it the crying or the projectile vomiting?
Wow.
That made you look bad, do you think?
If I'd have known there was going to be this much vomiting on the show, they should have put it on VH1. How do they let this one get by them?
I don't know, but this show gets better every week.
That's awesome.
Amazing, Laquisha.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
One guy who's going to have plenty of time to go to Vegas, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God.
Manny Ramirez. That's the rumor.
Wow.
Did you see that?
No.
Suspended for 50 games.
What?
50.
Not a rumor. Not a rumor happening starting
suspended
today.
Suspended for 50 games.
What did he do?
Positive drug test. I guess steroids? Is that
I'm assuming,
what you hear?
Yeah, this story's so
it's kind of brand vague. New. He didn't show up last night after the win, and apparently he's not going to be eligible to play again until July 3rd. He might be
that's not going to hurt the Dodgers, right, Mike?
He might be the biggest name to ever be suspended for that, yes?
Yeah, certainly.
That's rough. Mike came in, he looked like a ghost.
He did.
Second
can't
ago.
Be, it can't be steroids.
I don't know. That's
it's got to be some sort of illicit drug. Because why would you just start using steroids a month into the season or something?
I do not know.
He would have been doing it during the offseason. They would have tested him when he showed up for spring training or whatever.
I bet you it's some sort of illicit drug.
I bet you it's
Here's what the LA Times says, Ralph. Manny Ramirez, let me see. He is expected to attribute the test results to medication received from a doctor for a personal medical issue.
What
could that be?
Maybe it is steroids then.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
they give you steroids for all kinds of stuff, but I don't know that.
Right. There's a lot of medical reasons to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken prednisone a bunch of times.
But I don't know. I don't know. Ralph brings up a good point, but the drug tests in the major leagues are completely random as far as the timing. So maybe they just decided a month ago to give him a drug test. And there's also something in this story that makes you believe that it might have something stemming from these 2003 tests, the guys that were on this, all on this list.
But wouldn't they have seen that coming?
Who knows? I don't know.
Seems like a complete surprise.
This is a very brand new story. But
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. But that is not good news for Dodger fans, that's for sure. It's 8:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Sure not as interesting as the John and Kate romance.
I'll tell you
got
now.
More?
I don't. But I do have some late-breaking news on Carrie Prejean.
Yes.
She, of course, is our own very own Miss California.
Oh, right. Okay.
And she is the one who is so adamantly against gay marriage.
That
she
is joining marriage.
She is joining the opposite marriage bandwagon, along with the people who brought us the storm.
is coming.
The storm is coming.
Is coming.
That commercial. She is going to make appearances for them. But we said yesterday that she may be in doubt, maybe in danger, rather, of losing her crown as Miss California because these photos have shown up of her posing semi-nude.
Right.
With the panties on and no bra, just holding her breast, looking alluring into the camera. Apparently, there was one. She said, oh, I just did one shot like that when I was 17. And then four new shots came out yesterday. And they're like, well, what's with these then? And it says in your contract with Miss California that you cannot pose for semi-nude photographs. Well, she says in her statement today, it's not a semi-nude pose because I'm modeling for lingerie.
It's not.
Well, that story keeps changing.
It's not a semi-nude pose because I'm
But she only has panties on. Right. She's got a top on. Isn't that the semi part of the semi-nude? Semi-nude.
It's still semi-nude. Regardless of what the product is, you're still semi-nude.
But she's a...
So she's asking them to define semi-nude.
What do you mean by nude?
What do you mean by nude?
What does that mean?
Have you ever seen the boys nude, Father? Well, what do you mean nude?
Right. She's a beauty queen, though. When did they get so...
Well,
they're very protective of their images, these beauty pageants. Huh. It's like the Miss America thing. That's why Williams...
Vanessa Williams
got in so much trouble because she did nude photos.
I've never understood that.
Yeah, they can't. You can't do any nude photography. They have to be wholesome and pure.
I understand that there is, I mean, where do you draw the line between what is tasteful nudity that's a cheesecake shot and what is actually what they're trying to avoid, which is basically, you know, porn?
You don't. It's all acceptable.
I mean, her photos, you could show them on television. That's how tame they are.
Yeah.
Should that be enough to disqualify you? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But it's funny, her panic is just what's making me laugh.
Define semi-nude.
And we found out yesterday, thank God for TMZ.com, that now we know why she hates gay people.
Oh, why?
Okay.
Her parents went through an ugly divorce in 1988, where her mother was constantly accusing her father of being gay.
Oh, interesting.
So she's got childhood issues with homosexuality.
I see.
Yeah. Apparently, her mom... recounts an argument, these court papers, rather, account an argument where her mother was screaming at her father in a parking lot, accusing him of being gay, and also questioned the girls, their daughters, regarding whether her father was gay or had a gay roommate.
I hope her dad moves to Maine and marries a dude. That's what I hope happens for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's rough.
Carrie's older sister says, one time my sister and I went in the hallway of my dad's apartment and his roommate's door was open all the way and we saw the roommate in bed with another man.
Airtight.
Was it John from John and
Ape? Apparently at least the father's roommate, if not the father, was gay.
Wow.
So, might have colored her opinion of homosexuals. They're just the same.
Remember, when the gay community is granted personal freedoms, ours get taken away.
That's right. Don't ask any questions. It just happens. I'm a doctor, and I won't be allowed to practice medicine if the gays get married.
My marriage is made worthless if there's a gay couple next door, though, right?
That's right.
My marriage doesn't mean anything anymore if they're married.
And
you know that.
And all the children will have to be gay if gays are allowed to marry.
That's law.
That's what happens.
That's science. That is science.
It will happen. The storm is coming.
The storm is coming.
That's all you need to know. Storm of gay people. Today's celebrity birthday is Breckin Meyer. Our buddy from Road Trip.
Yes.
And Herbie Fully Loaded. And I'll even forgive him for the Garfield movies.
Wow.
Because he does that robot chicken with Seth Green, which is very funny.
Yep.
35 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry is 38. I'm just going to go ahead and scratch him off
the
celebrity list for next year.
The last mention necessary.
We can pass on Eagle Eye Cherry's birthday, I think. Tracy Lords is 40. Captain Robbie Knievel, the stuntman, is 47. Phil Campbell of Motorhead turns 48, and Amy Heckerling is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know if you saw the big news out of Dodgerville, Dodger Town this morning, but Manny Ramirez.
That'd be Los Angeles, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Dodger Town is Los Angeles. Manny Ramirez suspended 50 games.
For substance abuse.
For drug. He took a drug test that went south, and apparently, everybody thought steroids. Or human growth hormone. But apparently it wasn't either of those. And we thought we would go to Manny Ramirez to find out just exactly what it was. Hi, Manny.
Hi.
How are you?
I've been better.
Yeah. I bet. A 50-game suspension for the substance they found in your test.
Yeah.
Now, a source is telling everyone, Manny, that it's not growth hormone, it's not a steroid, it's not even a recreational drug, but it's a sex drive enhancer, a sex performance enhancing drug.
It's true. I want to come out and tell everybody that I use the medication from my daughter because I don't take drugs, I don't take no steroid because I'm not a cheater, and I'm not a bad guy. I'm a good guy.
I did see in your statement that you say you've taken and passed about 15 drug tests. And
I don't do bad things.
Right.
I don't jaywalk.
Right.
I wear my seatbelt.
Right.
Apparently you don't much either because your wang won't work.
You can't say that.
Oh,
we can't use that language. But what's the problem with
Ralph.
Your...
Yes, Manny.
You're right.
Oh.
It hurt my heart because I hit many home runs.
Right.
And every fan, they cheer for me.
Right.
And everybody like Manny. And then Manny come to the bedroom and...
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. So my boner don't work. So then the doctor give me pill. And I take pill right now.
Wow, that does work.
That's amazing.
Now Manny feels strong.
All right. Yeah. What is that,
Manny
Viagra?
Feels strong.
Is that Viagra?
No.
Is it Cialis?
It's called Manny Special Tonic.
I see.
And Dr.
Special Tonic.
I didn't know that was used anymore, that word.
I didn't know the Three Stooges were making medicine these days. What's in Manny Special Tonic? Doctor?
Catnip. This isn't a doctor. This is Manny.
Catnip.
Licorice.
Mm-hmm. And sugar and spice and everything nice.
I'm surprised that shows up on a substance abuse
but
test.
But it don't last too long.
What does Major League Baseball hate about that drug then? Why are they against you having a boner?
I don't know. Because I guess since I started taking the medication, they had to keep buying me cups. Over and over again. Because my boner, it would... right through the cup. And I have to go to the equipment manager. I say, hey, can you give me new jaw strap and new cup? And they say, Manny, that's 15 times this week. And I say, I know, but I have a big boner from the Manny Special Tonic.
Oh, no. There it went.
That tonic.
Hold on, let me drink tonic.
So... Well, that is fast working
stuff. Tonic down in an apothecary?
I don't even know what that word is.
It's like a turd that's at your name for a pharmacy.
Okay.
Sometimes I call it elixir. But when I take it, Manny sure can make a rain on the girls.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Oh, I'm like Peter North.
Now, you're going to miss 50 games, which is $8 million worth of pay.
Yeah.
That's no good. That's an expensive boner.
But it gives me a lot more time to f***.
Which you can do now.
Now that you have the tonic.
Now I had the tonic.
Yes. All right. Good luck with your boner.
Kevin, it's been an awfully long time since I've seen you excited about something that happened on American Idol, because you hate the American Idol.
Well, I don't watch American Idol, but Ralph came in today, and then I think you saw it, Dean, and you were talking about Paula Abdul's performance.
Yes.
Yes.
I am fascinated by how bad she is.
She is awful. And if you're that bad, why do you go on a talent show? Why do you go on a show where... there's supposed to be a certain level of talent that you're supposed to be able to see and critique, and then you go on and you give a performance so bad that you would be voted off instantly if people could.
She doesn't know, right?
I don't think she has that awareness at all. I think people ask her opinion. She feels like she matters as much as the other judges, and she's doing them a favor by coming on the show.
And no one's going to tell her different.
She apparently, and I don't know why, but has another album coming out. I mean, you would hope that those days are behind her. There's not exactly a group of people out there begging Paula Abdul to make more music.
That's where you're wrong, my friend.
She debuted her new song called I'm Just Here for the Music last night. And if you listen to Riot as he's preparing to get her to perform, he is treating this as if somehow the Beatles rose from the grave and got back together to perform on the show.
Only better. Right. It was ridiculous.
What's my name?
Our very own Paula Abdul has been a dominating force as both a choreographer and recording artist for over two decades.
All right, would we say dominating force in either for two decades?
No.
Not
certainly
not.
Dominating force.
No.
She had a couple of hits 20 years ago. That's the extent of it.
And she was a Laker girl.
Right.
Right.
That's it.
Thank you. Baby, since we never, ever.
Starting as a dancer for the renowned Laker girls in the early 80s, Paula used her unique style of choreography and slick vocals to kickstart a recording career that has sold over 53 million records and has solidified her status as an international superstar.
And it shows her getting a star on the Walk of Fame. She's an international superstar. That's correct. Around the world.
If it weren't for American Idol, 99% of the people out there wouldn't even remember who Paula Abdul was.
No.
Yeah, I blame them for that.
Thank you so much for making it happen.
After collaborating with fellow judge Randy Jackson last year on Dance Like There's No Tomorrow,
which also blew,
no one bought,
Paula is now gracing the Idol stage for the very first time tonight. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. The song is called I'm Just Here for the Music. Put your hands together for the one and only.
And now all the judges say together.
Paula Abdul.
Now, I don't know that she was lip syncing because you can't ever see her mouth.
Well, I think there was a reason for that.
There's a lot of smoke on stage, and there's a lot of lights from behind her, and her hair is over
long
her face.
Shots.
A lot of shots from 50 feet away. You can't really tell.
Yeah.
But you know from the sound of the song, A, it was turned down by Britney and a bunch of other pop stars.
Right.
And B,
it was a song that was rejected by Kylie Minogue for an album about 6 years ago. So this one's been out there begging for somebody with low standards to take it in politics.
I'm just here for the music.
So here are the lyrics. I'm just here for the music. I really didn't mean to turn you on. I just go crazy. I dance and I'm super sexy.
Well, of course she's lip syncing. Listen to that song. You can't do that live.
There's no way you can do that live.
She's it's auto-tune, right?
Clearly auto-tune, and she's doing it. She's faking it.
Boy, you know I like the way you move it.
By the way, retarded dancer too.
Really?
Oh, that's all that stuff about choreography? I was watching that clip this morning. I was like, what is she doing?
Oh, my God.
I was very surprised by that as well. She does not move very well for somebody who has a background in choreography. That's for sure.
So if you want to wait for me, I'm going to need someone to take me home. Can you feel it?
Oh, no, she said that live, sure, yeah.
Oh.
So then at the end of it, finally, there are a bunch of reporter-looking guys that stand up and they start going, Paula, 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 because they want to ask her a question. And that's when she says the first thing live that she said all night.
Hey, we'll be back next season.
Gentlemen, I'm just here for the music. Good night.
No.
She's so out of breath.
Listen to those girls screaming at the top of their lungs. Tell me that wasn't sweetened by about
100%. Yeah, hello.
I don't
Come
know.
On.
I mean, maybe I guess they could sweeten it, but they do. The show does air live, remember? But
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have neon signs in the crowd, in the audience, that say, applaud now.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was absolute indulgent rubbish.
Finally, we agree with Simon.
So that's how that one ends. That's
sure.
Just they talk.
Yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock Cinco de la Tarde. By the way, tomorrow morning on the show, comedian Dave Attell joins us. Our old friend Adam Carolla is going to be here. And Mr. Skin, Ralph, you'll be happy to know our old friend Mr. Skin is back on, talking about mothers and daughters who have both been nude in the movies just in time for Mother's Day.
I was trying to think about that.
For Mother's Day.
That strikes me as bad.
I have a hard press coming up with 10. Is it a list of 10, right? I don't know how many he's going to do for us, but
I think
that's usually what he does,
Having a hard time thinking, just in general, how many mother-daughter tandems there are in Hollywood.
Kate Hudson and Goldie Hawn.
Right.
That's it. We're out.
Also, I don't know. Didn't know that Goldie Hawn had ever even done nudity.
Yeah, Wildcats.
Tippi Hedren and Melanie Griffith.
I don't know.
That's
who
a
that
good
is.
One.
Her
that's
mom? Is that
one.
Her mom?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher.
Well, tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Mr. Skin, so we'll find out what the whole list is. That should be a lot of fun. Meantime, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday afternoon. What's going on?
Kate Gosselin speaking out about her husband, John Gosselin. They, of course, have Kate and John plus 8.
John and Kate plus 8.
John and Kate plus 8.
Not that it matters.
I love this story. I'm just loving it more and more all the time. Been talking about it all day long. John apparently has a friend who's a 23-year-old hot grade school teacher. And the friend, this teacher, lives with her brother. And the brother says, oh, yeah, they've been knocking it out. These walls are thin in the house. I hear them all the time. It's disgusting. And then the friend said, "No, that my brother's a liar and a drug dealer. Don't listen to him.
You shouldn't trust him. He's a bad guy."
And then the brother came back and said, "Oh, geez, I'm sorry she's upset, but facts are facts. And, you know, I didn't mean to hurt her, but this is the case."
And John's saying that it's
just friends. Just friends. What's he going to say?
Yeah.
So anyway, she was supposed to be on the Today Show. John and Kate were supposed to be on the Today Show today. John doesn't show. Then Kate goes on Rachel Ray, and he doesn't show. But she does talk about the affair.
Okay.
She said, "It's one of those things that we're just handling privately."
So that means it happened.
That's what I'm thinking,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure sounds like
we're taking it one step at a time and trying to work through it. The focus remains on the kids.
Let me tell you something about this Kate from this TV show, for those of us who have watched it. She will never, ever get another man.
That's correct.
That's for sure.
She's got 8 kids and that personality. She's not getting another man. She better do everything she can to forgive John and hang on.
She's not man friendly.
"I feel like you can learn from something from every situation. I'm absolutely learning a lot from this. I do not care how you see me. Call me crazy, but it's out there because I am not perfect, and I will never boast that I am perfect. Everyone makes mistakes."
No, she's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
She yells at him all day, every day.
He can never do anything right for her.
"I am troubled by this, and I'm also troubled by the fact that my husband looks like Miles from Lost."
Did she say that?
No, she's not. Oh. But always bothered.
He does a little look like that.
He looks a lot like
him. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Yeah. People. Interesting.
By the way, what's happening on Lost? I can't figure out.
Don't ask that question.
I didn't see it last night. I
can't
T-voted. I haven't watched
figure
it yet.
Out. John Locke is there 40 years later. Wait, he's on the
watched
island.
It yet.
With the younger version of himself.
I haven't watched it yet.
So there's 2 John Locks. He can watch his own person.
Boy, you're an ass.
I'm saying
you're an ass.
I haven't seen Last Night either, but I can't get over the fact that Faraday got killed by his own mother, which to me means how was he ever born? I can't wrap my head around that.
Well, she wasn't killed. She goes on to have him.
But how could she go on to have him if he's dead back in the before he's born?
He's not dead before he was born. That's his present. He'd lived his life up to that point, and then that version of him goes into the past.
And
but that's his
way,
present.
There were 2 John Locks on the island at the same time.
All the things from last night's episode, that's the least confusing.
What?
We've already established John Locke, the new John Locke we know, is dead. He's a undead deity. He's come back to the island to lead. He's got some type of spiritual presence.
Oh,
we
I
know
didn't
that.
Know that. All right.
We saw him in a coffin!
Well, that helps. No, I know that, but I thought
he
came back to life.
He's the one that was in the coffin?
He came back, yes!
I never knew that.
2-3 seasons ago.
I know, but now I know that.
But everyone who dies there goes on to another level, because Jack's father, who was also dead in a coffin who landed on a plane on the island,
right,
is up and about, but he's not alive in the classical sense.
Ah.
Right,
you can see him. People see him. Like, Ben saw him. Ben ran into him. John Locke's had many conversations.
I've never been
him.
More confused than I am right now.
Well, that's not saying much.
I don't know what's going on.
And it looks like Kiefer Sutherland won't be going to jail for headbutting a dude in the face in New York City.
Needed to be done? Is that what they're saying?
No, they didn't give him that. They didn't give him that kind of write-off. No, he turned himself in and apparently just gave him a bench ticket saying, "You got to come back when we do the whole trial thing, but we're not going to take you into custody right now." So he will have to face the music, but he will not do it behind the bars of a New York jail cell, which is good because they're starting up season 8. To film
24,
so he's going to need to be out and about in order to get the Adventures of Jack Bauer off the ground. However, there may be trouble for him here in California because he's under probation still for his DUI.
Right.
Oh.
One of the terms of that probation is must obey all laws, even those in other states. So California may deal with him more harshly than New York does.
Headbutting is more of a suggestion.
Is it?
Don't headbutt.
What does it suggest?
You shouldn't headbutt.
You shouldn't
it's more like
headbutt?
That. I don't know that there's a law.
It's not a law, really?
I don't think so, no.
How about the assault
and
battery?
I don't think assault covers it.
I got to agree with my man Kevin, who pointed out earlier in the week that Jack Bauer has done so much for this country that occasionally you let him slide with a little indiscretion.
Yeah.
We'd all be speaking German if it weren't for Jack Bauer.
Turns out that's a TV show.
What?
I'm just saying.
World in World War II?
Whatever it is. I don't know what the specifics are.
It's not World War II, I'll tell you that. That's what it's not.
You guys have got a lot of problems.
Oh, we do, no! I mean. But you can't. We don't use that language here, though.
Today's celebrity birthday is Amy Heckerling. She's a writer and a director of motion pictures, 55 years old today. The captain, Robbie Knievel, turns 47. Tracy Lords celebrates her 40th birthday today by taking 40.
Oh,
you can't say that.
Where's she taking them?
Let me think.
To get ice cream or something?
Oh, you thought she was taking them out someplace?
Oh, yeah,
No.
Oh, you mean like, she's.
Yeah, she's. Can we have any of this conversation?
No!
Breckenmeyer celebrates his 35th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is solid.